the Fan.
Listen up. The ratings just came in for last month. We are number one. We just grabbed every key demographic.
Super duper, gang. Yeah. Super duper.
That's nice. Way to go. Neato, gang.
Yes, boy.
That is good news.
Anyway, how is your sex life?
A little bit of fantastic.
I'm a big fan of Johnson's.
I lost 17 pounds. No. Don't clap. It's depression. That's the only way I could lose weight, guys. The only way I could lose weight is if I'm depressed, not drinking booze. I'm not good with traditional diets. When I go on a diet, I go hard, though. I'll go to local middle school and start stretching, run the track. You know, like, it starts today. Go to Modell's, get shorts, and just like, nah, it starts today. I'm gonna be a legend in 2 weeks. I'll go hardcore water, fish, salad. But then the first sign of improvement, first sign, I'm just like, I think I did it. I think, like, I don't wanna look too skinny. I don't wanna look sick. I don't want people thinking, just took me 2 salads to get to my goal weight. Just have the fastest metabolism of anybody that ever lived, I think. Everybody tries to be like so profound in these times, you know, political bumper stickers. I can't stand that, especially if it's a shitty car. I saw a guy with all these like profound bumper stickers, like, you know, these political statement bumper stickers on like a beat up 92 Saturn. And I was just like, why would I ever take advice from this guy? He's obviously been voting for the wrong person for years.
I like baseball. I like the home plate umpire job. They call balls and strikes, which I think are equally important to the game. So why is an umpire's reaction to a ball or a strike so markedly different? When it's a strike, an umpire lets everybody know. But when it's a ball, sometimes an umpire don't do nothing. I'd feel bad if I was a pitcher and I put all kinds of effort into my pitch and an umpire just went, I'm gonna waste my time with this kind of nonsense. But then when it's a strike, why not split the difference in those reactions? Because when it was a ball, I didn't know anything had even transpired. And when it was a strike, I thought your chest might explode.
White people from Minnesota, so hockey, fishing, skiing, sailing, and after a few drinks put on a Prince album.
Bullshit. I always do it on company time.
Welcome to the Power Trip Morning Show. It's Wednesday, July 24th of 2019. One morning after an epic Twins loss. But my God, what a game.
Yeah, man.
I fell asleep in the eighth. I missed everything. Right?
Absolutely.
Everything. And think of how much I saw before that. Right, a bunch of Twins home runs, a big Twins lead. I missed the Sano home run. I missed the Hicks home run. And of course, I missed the Hicks catch that locked it up for the New York Yankees, 14-12 in 10 innings. One for the ages goes the wrong way for the Minnesota Twins.
If you were watching that game and you went, all right, here we go. Even I, sitting at home, went, here we go. They're up 8-2. They're going to win this game. And the talk tomorrow is going to be the Twins are going for a sweep of the Yankees. And then it got to like 8-5. Didi Gregorius hit that home run and it was 8-5. And I'm going, eh, whatever. Then they got one back. I'm going 9-5. Great point. But they're going to win 10-6, something like that. Well, then the bullpen imploded and everything fell apart. If you fell asleep, they lost 14-12, as Corey just said. They lost.
Which, again, if you tuned in late, there were about, what, 4 or 5 lead changes. It just kept flipping back and forth. So If you went to bed when it was 8-2, then you're probably a little surprised they lost 14-12. Otherwise, it got close late, and they just kept flipping back and forth, right? Sano puts the Twins up with that monster two-run shot in the eighth. And you're like, all right, bullpen imploded, but they got it back. They're going to find a way to close it down in the ninth.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Hicks puts a two-run blast over the wall.
I didn't know this until I saw it this morning. The guy before him, whoever that is, and I'm not a great Yankees mind, the guy before Aaron Hicks had a 1-2 count. Taylor Rogers had a 1-2 count against that guy, and he walked him. Mm. And then Hicks came up and obviously hit the home run. And then I didn't know this. The Twins had Aroldis Chapman in his half of the inning walk the bases loaded.
Yeah, the bases were juiced when Kepler hit just an absolute blast.
No, sorry. That was before when Polanco hit the...
in the bottom of the ninth?
Yeah. He walked the bases loaded, no outs, and they got one run.
It was the sack fly that tied it?
Yeah, by Polanco, yes. But
how about in the 10th, right? So the Yankees score a couple in the 10th, and then the Twins have the bases juiced when Kepler just blasts one to deep left center. And there's two outs. So clearly the runners are going. If Hicks makes that diving catch, which he did, which was a great, great catch, the Yankees win.
Yeah, great catch.
If he misses that ball,
it's over.
It's over because the Twins absolutely get everybody around and in, and they win 15-14.
Yeah, because
Kepler's the hero again.
Again.
How many times have we seen that? So Kepler hit a ball absolutely worthy of being the hit. And then former Twin Aaron Hicks comes out of nowhere. And by the way, this just to rub this in, how about this? Here's some stats for you this early in the morning. Where's my stat button? Damn it, timing's everything.
There are some statistics that I'd like to share with you now, and they are numbers.
Per StatCast, whatever the F StatCast is, that was the fastest Aaron Hicks had run all season for an out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the fastest at any point all year long he's had to run to make an out.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
So not only did he run full speed and get under it, he had to run full speed just to give himself a chance to dive and catch it. And he dove and caught it to end the game. You don't see a lot of diving catches to end games.
No, it was sweet.
And he ended, again, it wasn't, hey, it's 14-12, bases are empty, and Kepler rips that one. It's he has to make that catch or the Twins win.
Yeah, because I would assume by the time he made that catch, who's ever on third has scored. You know?
It's all about whoever was on first and 100% running full speed as soon as that ball goes.
Two outs, yeah.
That guy is absolutely getting in. I don't care if that's CC Sabathia at first base.
I think it was Garver.
Yeah. They're getting in.
That bangs off the wall. Hicks has to get back up. Yeah, they've all scored. It's over.
Man. Hi, Zach, by the way.
Hi, Corey.
You watched it?
Yeah,
you stayed up?
That was awesome.
You watched the whole thing?
I mean, it sucked that the Twins didn't win, but it was an instant classic, as they say, back and forth, and kind of a good preview of what October could be. But it was also a good reminder of what October could be because it was agonizing. I mean, it was just back and forth, and unlike, you know, football or hockey or any of the other sports, baseball is just so slow. Like, you're agonizing on every single pitch. Yeah. And then it doesn't help, nothing against Dick Bramer, but it doesn't help when every time the Twins make contact with the ball,
you're right.
He jumps up in the air and screams on a routine fly ball out. So you think, I don't blame him with the Kepler hit and the beautiful Eric Hicks catch.
Aaron, yeah.
But there was a play earlier, I think it was in the ninth when they tied it, where it looked like they were going to win the game because they had the bases loaded. It was the sacrifice fly.
Yeah, he made it sound like it was a grand slam.
Made it sound like that thing was, you know, had 500 feet. So that was a little frustrating, but it was awesome.
Instant classic, you say.
Yeah. Great, great baseball.
It was a great game.
Marnie Gellner's going to be here for the last couple hours of the show, so she was there. She can break it down, and Rosie will be here, of course, as well, to annoy the hell out of her and talk us through it as well. Should be a big show, so Marnie's going to be here for a couple of hours because Chris is in one of the Dakotas with his daughter.
North?
I think it's North, yeah. So Chris is out today. Zach's hanging out for a little bit. And then Marty Gellner's going to be here. We're going to have Kirk Cousins on at about 7:05. Give or take,
sweet,
right?
Sweet, man.
From TCO, but still, we're going to have Kirk on for the first time in
a month
or so.
I love that guy.
That'll be cool. Mark Parrish is supposed to be here at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. Mark Rosen will be here a little bit later, so lots to get to between now and 9 o'clock. But everybody's buzzing about the Twins.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
And this wouldn't be the case if it was just a standard Twins-Yankees game, because they've kicked our ass for 15 years.
Or last year.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But this year it matters, because right. Every game matters, because Cleveland's right on our heels, even though they lost. So
that was in 10. They lost in 10 innings as well.
Right, but the Twins were free-rolling, because this game was a five-hour game.
Yeah.
Right, everybody knew the Indians had lost way, like, I don't know, 15 hours before this game ended.
Yeah,
slight exaggeration.
They lost in about the sixth inning of the Twins game.
So the Twins were free-rolling, so this game would have been more devastating if Cleveland had won.
Yeah, that's a...
Then you feel like you really choked away an 8-2 game. Like, oh, man, anytime you lose a 6-run lead in baseball, it's a gut punch. But based on the way the game went, it doesn't feel as bad. Right? Everything that we love about the Twins happened last night in terms of the offense. Everything we hate about the Twins, the bullpen, happened again. So, Zach, you were just saying this felt like October.
Yeah.
This is the problem. If this is October, teams like the Yankees are going to crush this bullpen.
Yes. Or Houston.
But everybody knows it. And by the way, that means Falvey and LeVine know it too. It's not like they're sitting there going, we're good. They know it. They're probably trying to get something done. They're not just going to sit there and have the same 10 guys pitch us the rest of the way. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who talked. Cole Stewart's name was brought up. And a lot of people yesterday when that, because I caught up a lot on Twitter. I don't think Cole Stewart belongs in the major leagues, let alone trying to get...
First-round pick?
Right. Yeah, he was the fourth overall pick. And now, as a starter, and now he's like a spot relief pitcher in games like this. They couldn't get anybody out, and my guy didn't even pitch. You know what I mean? I mean, they're down to whoever. Parker was awful.
He gave up four.
Yeah, Duffy at least got the out, but gave up the tying run. He gave up the fifth run in that inning, that being the bottom or the top of the eighth.
But Duffy's one was the frustrating one. That's really the one that got Baldelli ejected, because that third pitch was so close, and it looked like a strike when it first happened. And when you saw the replay on Fox Sports North, because I was still watching at this point, it was right on the corner.
Yeah.
That's a really tough call to let go. But the ump did, and Baldelli hated it.
And earlier, Gibson got a call like that, I think in the first inning for a strike three. Very similar pitch, corner pitch like that. It just, they had all kinds of chances, but the bullpen, I mean, and then Rodgers for the second time in, 4 days? He gives up the save. He gives up two runs. I mean, they couldn't get an out. They couldn't
Cole
get
Stewart
an out
gave
when
up
they,
two.
Right. They could not get an out when they needed one, but this offense is too good to be wasted on bad pitching.
So, check this out. Hang on a second. Talk amongst yourselves for 15 seconds.
Okay, here it is. This song.
Here it is.
There are some statistics that I'd like to share with you now, and they are numbers.
This is courtesy of our friend Aaron Gleeman from Gleeman and the Geek.
Huge fan of him.
There's a whole bunch of times that Gleeman and the Geek and Aaron Gleeman specifically will throw out a stat that I've never heard of, and maybe a lot of us non-sabermetrics people or non-baseball people just go, whatever, just you guys love your stats. I'm here for the entertainment, right? But when you watch a game like that and you know the bullpen is falling apart, here's a stat I had never heard of. And Aaron, as he does very well, puts it in perspective so us idiots can understand what he's talking about. Okay, let me read these two tweets just to put this in perspective. Aaron says on Twitter last night, the Twins lost 14-12. Their pitchers combined for a win probability added of -1.67, which is the worst pitching total for any game in the 59-year history of the Minnesota Twins. So let's just start there. Before you even understand what that stat means, because at this point when I was reading, I didn't understand what that meant. Let's just start with, it's the worst pitching performance in the history of the 59-year history of the Minnesota Twins. His next tweet, for some context for win probability added, both teams start each game with a hypothetical 50% chance to win. So every plus 0.5 or minus 0.5 win probability added accounts for one win or one loss. All of that, which means the Twins pitchers, which were minus 1.67 win probability added, performed poorly enough to lose, quote, more than three games all by themselves. So that's essentially the equivalent of losing three games within one. That's how bad they were.
That's hideous.
That's really bad.
Really bad. That's where somebody, either hopefully Baldelli goes, I don't care if you overpay. I mean, we're not giving up Royce Lewis, but you have to find me some legit bullpen help immediately, or we're going to piss these games away. I mean, it's, my God.
How about perfect night for baseball, though? The stadium's absolutely jacked. Tons of drama. I mean, even though they lost, you got your money's worth last night at Target Field.
I think Rosie literally, I mean, he didn't pay, but
stayed the whole time?
Rosie was there the entire game. That's how into it Rosie is. I can't wait to talk to Rosie. I mean, he'll say nothing but positive things, but...
Oh, he's going
to
rip the bullpen.
I mean, the difference a win last night makes for this team, you go up four games instead of, you know, you have a perfect opportunity when the Indians are just playing horrible teams to go up four games. You give that up. And just the thought that we could say on the radio or at the water cooler with everybody who wants to talk about it, because a lot of people are talking about this squad, we're going for a sweep of the Yankees, and they couldn't get it done. This game's on ESPN tonight. That's how important this game is. And we're not going for the sweep because we couldn't hold a 8-2 lead. Hideous.
Or like two other leads.
Right. Or and every time Sano got him back in the game, and Sano
hit two home runs.
Right. Five RBI just off home runs. They couldn't keep it together. I'm so close to swearing because I'm so mad. I'm pissed. Think how mad Bonus is.
You know, you asked me before the show, should we have John Bonus on? And I'm like, well, we got Marnie Gellner on for 2 hours. We got Rosie on. Do we really need Bonus? But if he wants to call in the 6 o'clock hour, if he's pissed, I want to hear him pissed.
I don't think Bonus gets pissed, well, but I bet that made
him pissed. I hope he's pissed.
Yeah.
It'll make for way better radio. Zach doesn't seem pissed. Zach seemed to have so much fun watching. He didn't even care that they lost.
I mean, like I said to you off air, Corey, I think the Aaron Hicks catch out in center field, the way that it ended, made it a little bit easier to swallow. Like, as weird as that sounds, like it was just, well.
Because they didn't choke it away.
Right, they didn't choke it away. They gave it a chance. Obviously, I mean, they kind of choked it away, 8-2 loss.
But not at the end of the game, right?
Not at the end of the game.
They earned a win.
It was so good of a baseball game that I wasn't as angry. Now, if Kepler struck out or if they, you know, they went 1-2-3 in that, I would have been more angry. But I had a good time. Baseball's fun, man. Baseball's fun in Minnesota again.
For now.
Really great time. Tell us this whole thing falls apart. But
thank you for your honesty.
Trade deadline's what, a week from today?
I believe so.
31st at 3 p.m. Central.
So a week from today.
Bonus will call in. Do we want him next?
Let's do 620 just because we got to get through front page sports and garbage like that. Man, are we going to be sports heavy this morning? We got Kirk Cousins. We got a big Twins game. We got Marnie Gellner. We got Parrish, Rosen. We might be sports heavy. And every time Hawk's gone, we do lean on sports more than normal.
We don't have to in this next segment. Can I tell you something I'm convinced Abbott is doing to me, and even though he won't admit it?
Sure.
And I got an email today.
Mm-hmm.
Abbott is signing me up for the weirdest dating services.
Okay, you've been complaining about that for years.
I just got one about...
Now you know it's Chad?
I'm 100% convinced it's him. Who else would do it? I mean, it's somebody
else.
There's
a lot of people here.
Yeah. I don't think it's you. You're not going to take the time to do it. Hockey's too busy.
That does sound like something I would do.
Yeah, but I don't think you would do it. Because then you'd have to sit here and listen to me bitch and moan about it.
I can tell you that, well, that's exactly why I would do it, though.
Yeah. Well, if you did do it, stop.
And I definitely, right now in my own head, am saying, I think if I was the person who was doing it, I would also be willing to analyze the likelihood of me being the person who was doing it on the air like I'm doing right now.
I just got an
It would be fun to kind of act like I'm hypothetically going through the motions in my head, going, God, could I pull that off? Would I pull that off? What would be my motivation? And then act like I'm kind of a suspect, but then actually be the one who's doing it. That sounds like something I would do.
If you are doing it, stop signing me up for vampire dating.
I don't think that's something I would do. I don't know.
Or I get emails about, like, what was the one I got the other day? Oh, about, like, I got a, and this is not fair to them. I got an email for a lesbian dating site.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to date me.
You don't know. Dude, don't speak for an entire group of people. That's extremely offensive.
Well, they don't want to date me.
Don't use the word they. How can you speak for all of them? What if some of them want to date you?
Why would they?
Name one reason why they wouldn't want to date
you. Yeah, give me a reason. Dude, don't make assumptions. That's not very cool in 2019.
I can't think of a reason why.
Let's do front page sports, and we'll talk about vampire dating and so much more right after this. Your morning show on The Fan.
KFAN. Total.
Vote it now.
Welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show. I'm Corey Cove. There's Paul Meat Sauce Lambert. Zach Halverson's here. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Corey.
I saw on Twitter the Zach Daniels, Gail Applin podcast is possibly going to happen because Carly's interested.
A lot of interest. Not only by Carly, but a lot of other people saying it's...
Right. So you're Zach Halverson, but when you get really, really drunk, we call you Zach Daniels.
Correct.
Because you double fist Jack Daniels.
Yes.
Carly Applin is now Carly Zucker. But Gail Applin is single and an absolute nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And the world wants Gail and Zach to do a podcast.
I like Gail.
Okay, but no, but if Gail and Zach do a podcast, it can't be the two of you sober just pretending to be Gail and Zach Daniels.
Yeah, you
got to get wasted and start slinging slurs and things.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what you two do.
So the question is, I mean, do we do a live recording somewhere at a drinking establishment?
Go to a bar, sure.
Should we go get hammered down here in St. Louis Park and then stumble our way into 1600 Utica and
That
do
sounds
it?
Great.
Yeah,
I like that idea, too.
I think all these are great ideas.
See, Zach Halverson has a lot of good ideas.
Yes.
I don't think Zach Daniels has a lot of good ideas.
No. Like
does a lot of things that he would probably regret sober.
Yeah, and I just opened up my Snapchat to
the world.
My Snapchat.
Oh.
And I'm a little worried because my stories get a little dicey sometimes. But
but you're allowed to.
Yeah,
we'll
play with it.
I was once told by Chad Abbott that I should not be on Twitter to represent this station because no one cares that I post about Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
So if he tells you not to do it, he's wrong.
Sure. All right.
And if Abbott doesn't want you posting about Pop-Tarts, we should mention that 14 minutes ago, KFAN's Twitter account posted why July 24th matters in rock history. And
what?
They have a picture of five dudes who I don't recognize.
Oh.
I don't know who they are. Maybe I'm supposed to, but I can't tell who they are.
This is my favorite part of my day.
You know what, AJ? I just clicked it. Let's see who the hell these dudes are. Let's see if I should know. Apparently that's Judas Priest. I guess that does look like Rob Halford a little bit in the middle. That makes sense now. I'd never noticed the other four guys, never recognized those other guys. All right, so the latest on Judas Priest, if you go to KFAN.com or KFAN's Twitter account.
How about the one about Kiss and 311?
I didn't even click that one.
Right, I said that. It was something about how 311 remembers the tips Kiss gave them on touring.
No, it was the rules.
Whatever it was.
Because Kiss, 311 opened for Kiss in the 90s at one point. And it was...
Were you there?
No.
Oh.
They didn't come through on that tour.
Oh.
And if they did, it was... I don't know if they did, because the first time I saw them was 97. I believe this was a 96 tour. Look. I love that band to death. There is no way Kiss... and their crowd liked 311 in 1996.
What a weird combination.
Kiss fans are going, what is this?
Yeah.
There's no way that worked.
I would assume Kiss fans to go out dressed like that have to get high. So that might be a tie into it.
Yeah, they like weed, but there's no way they like rap rock in 1996, right?
No, but to my point, not even
matter how
you
high you are.
Clicked on that.
No.
No.
And look, people have said this a couple times. You guys talk about rock and roll all the time on your show. What's so wrong? Because it's just spam garbage.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't like rock music. I love rock music.
Same.
I even like rock and roll news.
And yeah, same.
You know, for up-to-date current things.
But no one, not even Geezer Butler, cares about Geezer Butler.
And even if you like Geezer Butler, if Dan Barrero wrote a piece on how Geezer Butler changed his life, I'd click on it.
Right.
What's Bum think about Geezer?
Right. Right.
But this is just spam trash.
This okay. is, and I mean, it's just half of it. You don't even like what matters in July, you know, 23rd. And it's something about, you know, Wasp. No one cares about Wasp.
You guys don't care how why Sex Pistols' Glenn Matlock explains reality of band members' relationship?
No, no one don't knows care about who that? Glenn Matlock is. He has family members that didn't know he was in Sex Pistols. No one cares. And it's just garbage.
In 1993, U2 started a two-week run at number one on the album chart with Zooropa, group's fourth album to top the chart. So if you did click on it, and I just did, you would have learned that U2 had a two-week run at the top of the charts in 1993.
No one cares.
It's spam trash.
It's just trash.
Yeah.
And when the person who runs that account, AJ, puts out stuff on the Vikings and all that, it's good reads. It's good stuff.
I believe he was at training camp yesterday.
I read it. Everything that's original content,
that's content
that is
produced
good.
By KFN. I'm all for it. Again, back to Bump's Geezer Butler piece.
Wait, did he write one?
No, but if he did, that would be KFN created content. Great.
But it's
click away. I'll read it.
Yeah. Why don't the three Hanson brothers get along anymore?
They don't?
I guess not.
Yeah, turn this up, right? Even though this song came out in 1997. Here's KISS fans going, KISS does not like this.
KISS.
I didn't click that article, the 311/KISS article that KFN spammed out yesterday, but I have heard those guys talk about it in the past, and it sounds like they knew pretty early on that they were not going to be, quote, successful on that tour.
Really?
They thought I mean, this is prime 311. This is after Blue Album, right? This is after the Down phenomenon.
This is a great song.
And they picked KISS to open for? That's why they don't almost open for anybody anymore. They're just their own headline cult bit and they move on.
Yeah, which they should be.
This song should have been the first single off of Transistor. It wasn't.
This is a great song.
Anyway, should we do Front Page Sports?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Let's start with what we just opened the show with because it's what everybody's talking about. If you check Twitter, Twitter was exploding last night because we had an unbelievable baseball game, but it did go the wrong way. In 10 innings, the Yankees come back and they win 14-12 over the Twins. The Twins led 8-2 after four innings. The Yanks took the lead back in the eighth when Gregorius doubled in LeMahieu and Judge to give the Yankees a 10-9 lead. But even though the lead was blown...
Lucky for the lead.
The Twins took the lead back in the bottom of the eighth when Miguel Sano hit his second home run of the game. It was a two-run home run to give the Twins a 11-10 lead. So that's enough.
Right. You should win. Taylor Rogers is unhittable, right, Corey?
Aaron Hicks hit a two-run home run in the top of the ninth to put the Yankees back up 12-11.
Well, then we won, right?
No. Polanco hit a sac fly in the bottom of the ninth to tie it at 12. That's cool. Get to extra innings, even though they had the bases loaded. Whatever. So the Twins forced extras, but then the Yankees put up a couple of runs in the top of the 10th to make it 14-12. Aaron Hicks, though, with the bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the 10th, Max Kepler just crushes one. If it goes over Hicks's head, all three guys on base get in, and the Twins win in walk-off fashion 15-14, and Kepler's the hero with a bases-clearing double, probably.
Would have been one of the biggest wins, I think, non-playoff in Twins history.
But instead, former Twin Aaron Hicks makes an unbelievable diving catch 5 hours, 3 minutes into the game. The game finally ends, and the Yankees win 14-12. The Twins had home runs by Cruz, his 21st, Polanco, his 15th, two from Sano, his 15th and 16th. But the Twins' bullpen was brutal. Parker gave up 4 runs, Duffy 1, Rogers 2, Stewart 2. Baldelli was ejected for arguing balls and strikes. He got pretty frustrated. Up next for the series, J.A. Happ faces Jake Odorizzi. Final game of the series tonight at Target Field. Then they have the White Sox. That's pretty. That's a nice little respite.
And then the Marlins. So they got. They could go. You know, he
gets
could
easier.
Win, yeah, 6-7 or something here.
So, Toronto won 2-1 over Cleveland. So the Twins' lead remains at 3 games. So they had a free shot to gain a game and choked it away to the Yankees.
Hideous, man. And the Indians, I think, were in the lead that entire game. I think the Indians were up 1-0 that entire game, and then Toronto scored in the bottom of the ninth, and then they scored, obviously, again in the 10th inning. So, damn it.
Byron Buxton's going to stay on the IL a little longer than thought because he had 3 wisdom teeth removed last week because one of them had an infection.
Gross.
Which was my question as well, because I had my wisdom teeth removed a couple years ago, a year or two ago.
You did?
And I was like, why couldn't this just wait till the end of the season? But that's apparently the reason is one of them had an infection, so it had to be dealt with immediately.
Yes. Wisdom teeth are awful.
Yep. So, kind of nice that it overlapped with another injury, because otherwise he probably would have missed time anyway.
Yeah.
Because he has that concussion issue as well. So we don't know exactly when Byron Buxton will be back, but Baldelli said yesterday that it should be relatively soon.
They need him ASAP. By the way, John Bonas coming in studio. That's how fired up he is.
Nice. As soon as possible? He's on his way?
He's driving currently on his way. Yeah.
Sweet. Vikings cornerback Holton Hill has been suspended an additional 4 games by the NFL, this time for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He previously was going to face a 4-game suspension for PEDs. He still will, so now he'll miss a total of 8 games without pay. He can still participate in training camp and preseason, but for a guy who had some question marks about his off-the-field issues going into his NFL career, which is most of the reason why he went undrafted.
Yeah.
Now he has performance-enhancing drugs and some other drugs, or whatever he got pinched for the substance abuse policy. Well, 8 games we're going to be without Holton Hill.
You may have said this, but I was looking at something about other things. He got popped in college and at the combine. Yeah. Man, what a... you go undrafted, and then you get an opportunity. Didn't he start a couple games last year?
Can't stay out of his own way.
Yeah, he played, and he had a pick, and he played what a lot of people thought really well. And now the Vikings cornerback room just got a lot thinner because I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow or maybe today or absolutely on Friday if Mike Hughes is on the PUP list. That's 2 cornerbacks, and then he can't practice for, what, a month and a half, something like that, whatever it is. That's 2 cornerbacks you're down.
Yeah, you got Waynes, and you got Rhodes, and then you're a little thin. After that, McKenzie's your nickel.
And
for your dime.
He played okay last year. But still, though, then you got, what, a couple of undrafted free... You got a couple of rookies, I think.
McKenzie's locked in as the nickel, correct?
Yeah,
with the way he played last year.
McKenzie played really well last year.
Yeah, much better, because before that, it looked like his career was going to be relatively short.
Yeah,
he figured it out, though. Played much better.
Maybe, and it's too early, I get that, but and we don't know what they have in camp. We don't know what they know, and they may like somebody who's a young guy, but you may have to think about possibly acquiring a cornerback. You're without Holton Hill for half the season if they just don't end up cutting him, and you're going to need, if Hughes is on the PUP list, man, you're going to need somebody, you're going to need a couple of bodies.
Let's get into your neck of the woods. How about Zion Williamson finally making a choice? He signed a shoe deal with Jordan Brand of Nike. The terms were not disclosed, but reportedly he had offers from others at about $10 million a year. So clearly he probably got more than that from Jordan Brand. More than 67% of the NBA wear Nike, but only 7% wear Jordan Brand.
So I would assume because of who he is, and to sweeten the pot for him, and this is very, very big for kids of that age, and he's still a kid. He's 18, 19 years old. Those kids love cool retro sneakers. A lot of people do. I guarantee you part of this deal was any Jordan shoe ever made, he has access to. And that's huge for kids like that.
Well, maybe, but again, but it's more about though, he's going to be the face of the Jordan brand moving forward.
That's awesome.
He's going to have his own signature shoe like Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul apparently do from Jordan brand. So.
Yeah, and as a rookie, that's huge.
And
man,
after his shoe exploded, and it looked like his, you know, what if, again, what if that shoe explosion caused him a career altering injury?
What if he's out for a year?
But instead, they were like, oh, it's over for Nike. He's never wearing Nike again. He's wearing Nike.
Yeah, that's sweet, man. For a young kid like that, for Jordan, he's basically probably going to be one of the ambassadors of the brand. That's awesome. Good for him, man. He deserves it. And what a better, you know, that's sweet, man. They had a highlight video of him and Michael Jordan one on top of each other on ESPN. Man, it was sweet to watch.
And, dude, you said this yesterday, but think about this. With Adrian Peterson's debt issues, that he's reportedly millions of dollars in debt. $100 million, give or take, in the NFL. That's before taxes. But, like you said, what about his Nike deal, right? What about all the endorsements that Adrian made on the side?
Well, he lost.
That's got to be all gone, though, as well, right? During the Switch issue, right? But I'm just saying, over the course of his career, he made money outside of football. But if he's millions of dollars in debt, that's all gone.
Man.
What a waste.
Man, I mean,
that's burning a lottery ticket.
This, I printed this ESPN story about, you know, Peterson in debt trusted the wrong people, according to his lawyer.
It's of course.
Just, it's sentence after sentence after sentence after sentence of people he owes money to.
Yep.
It's, I mean, this is a nightmare scenario. And debt sucks. People who are in debt, that stuff sucks, man.
Yeah, you don't want that when you have $100 million.
But,
if you're grinding away and you're in debt, we all get it. If you have $100 million and blow it, honestly, I know trusting the wrong people is maybe like, oh, you feel bad. I don't really feel bad for them.
And it's also,
it's your money, dude.
Yeah,
it's up to you.
An excuse to, I think it's more of a scapegoat.
Yeah, to place the blame on somebody else. Dude, I called this so many years ago.
Adrian Peterson, I've heard a lot of, I mean, we know that all the really, really bad stuff about him. I heard a story once, and I have a really good source that it was true that he went into a gas station and there was a lady behind the counter and she was talking to him about his son and he talked about his son and it was like around Christmas time and he handed her a ton of cash to buy her son Christmas presents.
You know what? That sounds unbelievably sweet.
But
now at this point, she had more money than he did.
She has. Yeah, and she has.
She should have turned around and gave it back to him and said, you need this more than I do.
Right.
And you have 56 kids.
Man, and then he opened that. Didn't he open that gym like in Dallas? What's he doing? What is he doing?
Wasting money.
My God, and I mean, hockey isn't even that bad with money.
Okay. John Bonas is on his way in. He is so fired up about the Twins, he wanted to come in studio to talk about it. We'll talk about that 14-12 loss to the Yankees and so much more when the Power Trip Morning Show returns. Don't forget, Kirk Cousins on this show about 7:05. Marnie Gellner right around 7 o'clock as well. Mark Parrish, Mark Rosen, Zach's here. It's going to be a big show between now and 9 on the Power Trip Morning Show on The Fan.
You're listening to KFAN.
Heading out to TCL for Minnesota Vikings training camp. We're broadcasting live throughout camp, presented by our friends at the Minnesota Lottery. Say, I'm into summer. Also, stop by our booth on the plaza to find out how you can win awesome prizes from the Minnesota Lottery.
John Bonas, you were so jacked up about last night's game that you came in studio this morning just to talk Twins.
Yeah, I also just hate talking to you guys on the radio. Yeah. On the telephone.
Yeah, I get you. I hate that.
We're on the radio, Bonas.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, let's. I appreciate the check-in. Let's call this what this is. This is a wellness check, right? This is the... At some point this morning, Corey's like, that was a great game last night. How's Bonas doing? Lambert thought about it for a little bit, and they said... Let's see. His last tweet was about sitting down with a bottle of scotch.
Oh, no.
Yeah. On his balcony, 27 floors above the ground.
Those sick brags, bro.
More than Dana from Ghostbusters.
And then Lambert thought, oh, I'll just text Bonas and see if he's free to come in.
Yeah, I walked in and said, we should get Bonas. And Corey's like, who?
I was like, no, thank you. This is how awesome the Power Trip Morning Show is. They could pay to listen to you. We're going to give you them, or yeah, them to you, vice but, versa. We're going to give they, them if, you for free.
But if they do want about a two-hour, probably, the breakdown might be another 4.5 hours. 5.5 hours? 5.5 hours.
5 hours and 3 minutes.
Yeah, so another five. The breakdown of that game might be another 5 hours and 3 minutes. If they would like to listen to it, I am sure I'm going to twist Aaron Gleeman's arm all into right, doing a special release podcast. Patreon.com/Gleeman.
14-12, the Yankees beat the Twins in 10 innings. We're going Twins heavy so far to start the show because Twitter exploded. There were so many things to talk about. Everybody was saying this is a playoff feel, right?
Right.
Gigantic game. Even the Yankees manager, Boone, was basically like, look, this is a game we're going to be talking about for a long time.
Yeah. There's a lot of those.
Where do you want to start? Because there's the Hicks angles, there's the Sano angles, there's the bullpen.
Right.
What? the floor is yours, John.
Here's where I'm going to start. After the game, I didn't even feel all that sad.
Well, what?
And that is hard to believe after the record the Twins have against the Yankees in something like 120 games. They've played a lot of games like this. This is what it means to be a competitive team and to be a playoff team and to end up having to face another really good team, especially a Yankees team, where you battle back and forth right to the end. The game this most reminded me of was the 2004 ALDS, which people forget that the Twins used to beat the Yankees occasionally in the playoffs. And in the 2004 ALDS, the Twins took the first game, and the second game went back and forth 12 innings in Yankee Stadium, and the Twins lost on Joe Nathan being stretched a little too long in the bullpen, running out of gas, and they lost 7-6, and we all thought, well, they'll good, but okay, we still got one out of two in Yankee Stadium, and we got two coming back to the Metrodome. And that was, I think, the last time they beat the Yankees in the playoffs. Mm. It got bad after that, right? Including two games later when they also lost a lead, I think, in the top of the ninth in the Metrodome. So, you know, I don't want to try and imply that things are hopeless at this point after this, because I really think what we saw was we saw two great teams. I think the Twins are a great team that has flaws, and those flaws get exposed when you face other great teams in must-win situations. And that's, I mean, this wasn't a must-win, but you know that, and they're going to have to address those flaws. And they've got a week left to address those flaws.
Because so many of these players, Marwin Gonzalez and Nelson Cruz and Jake Odorizzi, a lot of these guys that have joined the team in the last year or two, Scope, right? All these guys that are pretty new to the team, Arias. Do you think they care that they've sucked the Yankees in the last 15 or 16 years? Is that good that they probably don't care?
I mean, for that matter, even the guys who are here, like the other guys are young. They don't remember the 2010 playoffs when we were swept out by the Yankees, right?
Right.
Yet somehow, we say that about every generation of Twins player.
But it keeps mattering.
It's been happening since 1960. All right?
Right, but at a ridiculous clip since 2002, right?
Right, of course, right. The Gardenhire era was the worst of it, right? There's no question. But literally, like, the biggest home run before Kirby's home run shot in Game 6 of 1991, the home run that all Twins fans talked about up until 1991 before that one, was a home run in 1965 in the last day before the All-Star break where Harmon Killebrew finally killed the Yankees. Because even in the 1961 through 1964 era, the Twins were the second best team in the American League. At that time, there was only one division. Right? It was just one league, the American League, and you played out the whole string. And the what had been the Washington Senators, who also used to struggle against the Yankees for years and years and years, became the Minnesota Twins. And they struggled against the Yankees till 1965 when, in a ridiculous game, Killebrew hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth to win that game, and that's when everybody knew in 1965 that Twins team was for real. And they made it to the World Series, where they ended up losing basically to Sandy Koufax, pitching both Game 5 and Game 7 of the World Series to shut down the Twins. Right? So this is not... I understand the thought process, like, oh, these people don't really care. They don't really know about the history. But there is some sort of organizational memory here. You know, I don't know if it's fan memory, and if it doesn't matter, how come this keeps happening? It always keeps happening.
But isn't it just the Yankees versus every team in the league that every team on some level fears the pinstripes?
Well, I think the Yankees are definitely the rival of
everybody.
More than one.
They're
team.
The right, evil yeah, umpire. Right,
right. Is there anybody that owns the Yankees?
I mean, no. Right. I don't think so. I mean, the Red Sox were the ones who were owned. The Red Sox were the Twins up through 2004. You know, so but and they sort of flipped the script on them. But I don't think anybody has ever said, "Oh," or the Yankees are like, "Ah, we can never beat those guys."
Bonus. Let me ask you a question. Obviously, there have been very few trades made, and the deadline is a week from today. Right?
Right.
Are the Twins raising their own price by being so bad and all these teams around the league knowing how much they need bullpen help? I mean, are they running themselves out of some of these players because they're going to go, well, we want this. Well, no, we're not giving you that. Well, you need him because your bullpen is horrific.
Maybe. Ultimately, I think those players' value is based on what they can get first from the Twins versus what they can get from other teams. You know, if they can get more from another team, they'll take it. If they can't, then they'll trading to the Twins for what they can get on some of these players. I don't think that's a crazy question to ask. And I'd also add to this, you know, the Twins have been leaning so heavily on Taylor Rogers. And at some point you overuse a reliever and they're just not any good anymore. You know, Addison Reed, who the Twins signed to a 2-year deal, was like that the year before. They leaned on him heavily throughout that season and then through the playoffs, and then we got him. And he just wasn't the same pitcher that he had been. He'd been used too much. And with them sort of not being able to find relief help that they really need for the back end of the bullpen, high-end relief help, you know, they turned to Taylor Rogers for the fourth time in six nights, and it was the fifth time in six nights that he pitched, because one of the other nights he warmed up. And sure enough, you know, when you're overusing a guy, he blows two of the four saves you end up giving him, right? And that's what we saw again last night.
So if the two-run home run in the ninth had been Aaron Judge, and then the game-saving catch to end the game had been
Didi Gregorius.
Right. Gregorius.
Gregorius.
Would it have stung more or less?
It would have definitely stung less.
Right, because yeah, it's there's no freaking question. Hicks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Like you said, you weren't that sad. Zach was saying the game was a lot of fun. People that stayed up to the end were like, all right, we lost, but man, at least we gave it a go. We
took
the lead back.
But that was one last night kick to the nuts.
Right, but the fact that it was Hicks that hit the 2-run
right.
home run.
Right.
The fact that it
traded
Hicks,
away for John Ryan Murphy.
Right, that made the Ooh. Diving catch to clinch it.
Did you see Perkins' tweet on that?
I did, yeah.
No.
John Ryan Murphy, the
restaurant?
The year before Glenn Perkins.
I know.
Oh, yeah, that would be great if it
the
was.
The year Perkins. Before the Twins traded for John Ryan Murphy. Traded away Aaron Hicks for John Ryan Murphy in the offseason. Halfway through that season before, the Twins were in a similar game to this versus the Yankees. And they ended up giving up a grand slam home run. Glenn Perkins gave up a grand slam home run to lose the game at Target Field. It was top of the ninth, so it wasn't a walk-off, but it was to lose the game to John Ryan Murphy. It's just a nobody, right? And a backup catcher on the Yankees. And sure enough, when the Twins were scrambling that offseason to find a catcher, and they didn't sign anybody and blah, 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 they ended up making a trade for that same guy. So Perkins tweeted out yesterday, something like, this whole thing's my fault. Because had John Ryan Murphy not hit a grand slam against me, the Twins never would have traded for
him. If Hicks doesn't make that catch, the Twins win. And Kepler would have been the hero again. What?
Right.
What a... Basically, post All-Star break, dude, that guy's on a tear, and he almost did it again last night.
He's on a 40 home run pace.
Jeez.
and
what is he, like 7 or 8 million a year? What a steal for Kepler.
Well, and I mean, every at bat is confident, and he knows
so
what he's
good.
Doing in there. Yeah, I mean,
he should have been an All-Star.
Yeah. And I mean, we got to mention, we're going to talk clutch performances. That game is Miguel Sano is a Yankee killer.
Yeah.
He killed the Yankees twice last night. But they kept getting up. Unfortunately, he did it while there was still time left in the game for them to come back.
Can he bat more than once per order?
God, he's on fire.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Two bombs last night,
one in the bottom of the eighth to take back the lead after the Twins had blown a 7-run lead.
When can we hear your podcast?
I don't know. Probably by lunchtime.
Oh, perfect.
GleamingInTheGeek.com. You'll find a link to our Patreon page, etc. It's going to be a buck an episode, but you will not regret it. I guarantee it is going to make this trade deadline a lot more interesting. It might make the rest of August and September a lot more interesting. I don't know that they could get much more interesting. Right. And hopefully it'll make October a lot more interesting.
Today's one of those days where you're going to feel like you're going to get your money's worth.
You are going to get your money.
And
it's like a dollar an hour.
That's true.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, today it might be 2 hours.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
$1 an hour.
It's less than a dollar an hour because we haven't gone less than an hour yet, I don't think.
So then finally this button makes sense.
It's like a dollar an hour.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
For the last 15 years, Napoleon Dynamite's been saying that.
It's like a dollar an hour.
And it's almost never right. This is almost exactly right.
This is exactly
right. What really matters is next, scores and stats around the world of sports, including more Twins notes with that 14-12 loss to the Yankees. John Bonus is here. Marnie Gellner right around the corner. Kirk Cousins on the show at 7:05. Mark Parrish, Mark Rosen. The show's packed between now and 9. Power to a morning show on the Fan.
He's dead. He's dead.
You're listening to The Fan.
Products not included.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show at 6:43. Marnie Gellner right around the corner. She, of course, was at that Twins game last night, working for Fox Sports North, so we can talk to her and ask her all things Twins-Yankees. Rosie will be here later, Mark Parrish in a little bit. Kirk Cousins on this show in about 20 minutes. But now it's time for What Really Matters, which is scores and stats around the world of sports. And in between, Sauce will say something else that has nothing to do with professional or amateur athletics. That's because Chris is out for just one day.
He passed away. It's kind of sad.
Then he's out permanently.
Yeah, he died.
We'll start with Twins-Yankees, because that's what everybody's talking about anyway. Yankees 14-12 over the Twins in 10 innings. John Bonus has a whole bunch of points he'll get to here in a second, but the Twins did blow an 8-2 lead after 4 innings. They took the lead back. There was a bunch of lead changes. It went to extra innings, a bunch of drama. Then Aaron Hicks with a game-saving and game-winning catch, a diving catch in deep left center. Pretty crazy. Yankees win 14-12. What really matters is this.
Charles Darwin used to eat all of the rare species he'd find to see what they tasted like. He sampled puma, giant tortoise, iguana, armadillo, rat, and more. Now here's...
I'm so glad Hawk's not here.
Right! I love Chris Hockey. More than anything, he would have started to play stupid-ass rat.
Yeah. I sample puma almost every day as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you eat that? I get it. I got
Why
it.
Not, though, right? If you're exploring the world and trying to figure out how evolution works and you're coming across some new species that you're not super familiar with, why not say, am I the first one to try this? Let's see if this is delicious or not. What's wrong with that?
Sure.
He's basically just a fear factor. That's what Darwin was.
Must have had an incredibly... digestive system that can handle just about anything. By that point in time.
Well, yeah, his stomach had evolved.
Yeah, John, yeah, it evolved to a whole
to
new...
To be able to digest whatever.
Okay, good.
He published that stuff, 150 years ago?
Sounds about right.
That's going well.
I'm sure we're right on the verge of everybody getting it.
Yeah, almost everybody's caught up.
It only took us a few hundred years for the Earth going around the sun thing.
There's still people that think the Earth is flat, so it doesn't shock me that it's taken 150 years, and we're still at like 60% of the country. He's like, all right, that makes sense. No, it doesn't matter.
Give it another 100 years.
You're going to have to give it longer than that. We're going to be long gone. John, point number two, though, about the Twins. Go.
Let's see. Kyle Gibson had a terrible outing, and... it basically convinced me that the Twins better be in the market for a starting pitcher for Game 3.
Really?
He's got to be, you know, he's been very good now since since the end of 2017. And this year, the hope was that he would take that sort of last step. But it's not totally clear that his stuff plays against a good, patient lineup that is a good quality lineup. He needs to get ahead of hitters early in the count. He was terrible at getting ahead of hitters last night. At one point, I think... he had something like five first strikes to the first 22 batters he had, something like that, first 22 batters he had. And that is for a guy who is coming into the game, was literally the fifth best pitcher in establishing that first strike in major leagues. Right? So he's very good at that. But I think he's very good at that because he can get people to chase. on that first strike, and he can't get a really good lineup to chase on that first strike. I think on the last Gleam of the Geek show, we talked about how we had, you know, the priorities for the Twins were a relief pitcher, a relief pitcher, a relief pitcher, and then a starting pitcher in that order, you know. Might have to bump that up a little bit.
By the way, I'm watching the replay on Fox Sports North right now. The Sano two-run home run to put the Twins back ahead in the eighth.
Yeah.
I love all this crap. I don't care about the you know, the unwritten rules of baseball.
Right.
He stood at home plate for about 60 seconds before he left.
And did you? And there was no question there. He might as well have, because that ball was absolute. Oh, and here's a point on the thing. There's probably a reason he showed them up a little bit on that. Did you see what happened on the first home run he hit?
No,
he did this bit.
He went running around the bases. Before he was around the bases, the Yankees coach was out taking out the pitcher. So the Yankees coach went onto the diamond, onto the field of play.
Before he was around the bases?
Before he was around the bases.
How is that even allowed?
The Yankees coach was on the field before Sano had gone third base to home. He crossed the third base line before Sano crossed third base.
I was wondering why they cut to commercials so quickly. Like, who wasn't even known this trot before they sent it to break? So that's what was going on.
Is that allowed that's even? Lame. Don't you have to wait till the guy crosses the plate?
I don't know.
Yeah, and then what were they...
For the Yankees, they break the rules. I don't know.
Well, Dick Bramer basically said that they shift when you're not supposed to move. Isn't that like a rule, too? Like, you can't move when the pitcher's in motion? Huh. And they do it all the time.
I did that.
Like, you can't shift once the pitcher, like, comes set. And they do it all the time. Huh. And it's I think, illegal. I may have misheard him.
I missed that part of it. I had to listen to some of the game on the radio, so I wasn't able to hear that part of the broadcast.
Corey Provis does the games, and he's great. He's also fantastic. Really likes Emmanuel, the TV show.
That's true.
Do we have the theme song handy? I mean, maybe, I don't know, off the top of your head.
Just in case Corey's listening?
Yeah, do you think you have it? Is this something you can whip up quickly?
Let me see here. Let me check under the Corey Provost folder.
Oh, you have a folder for him? What's the first thing in that folder?
It's only one file.
Oh, what is it?
Zach, you're too young for this stuff, but dear God, this was a game changer. What really matters is this.
Rodney Dangerfield was the first entertainer to have a website. He launched Rodney.com in 1995. Speaking of Emmanuel.
And because I read that as well this morning, I looked it up, and it still exists.
Good for him.
Rodney.com. It's a bunch of links to his clips, and it's his bio. It's basically like his legacy website now,
I loved Rodney.
If you want to learn all things Rodney Dangerfield, you can just go to Rodney.com. So, 1995, he had a website. Rodney was a forward thinker. Can you imagine somebody not having a website now? It's just crazy, but 1995, what are we doing now? How does this work? How about Amazon's, largest company in the world, essentially, right? And at the time, are people going to online shop? Who's going to put their credit card information into a website? That was a legitimate thing. Yeah, people did. They were not comfortable putting their credit card information into a website.
Hockey screamed, "I volunteer!"
Well, the technology to sort of protect it, to what extent you can protect that, didn't really exist at the time either.
But it just wasn't. I mean,
there
trusted.
Was no VeriSign. I remember when VeriSign came; it was a game changer for the internet community.
But you remember the thought was, I'm going to give some random website my money.
Right?
How am I ever going to know if they're going to deliver my stuff?
And at that
they're just going to take my money. And then how am I going to who am I going to complain to?
Right.
Now it's just, we'll call the police.
Well, I find somebody to complain to all the time. Back then, the internet was only good for
sex. Yep. John Bonus, Twins Yankees, go.
Game almost, Twins again, almost got out of it in the, I think it was the top of the eighth inning, where still up 9-6, or 9-7, Tyler Duffy came in as a reliever, struck out, made the perfect pitch to strike out, I don't even remember who the batter was, so I'll think.
Is it Gregorius?
No, because he's a right-handed hitter. Made the perfect pitch to strike out somebody and didn't get the call. I was on
caught
a 2-2
corner.
Yeah,
caught the corner. And I mean, I think what infuriated everybody so much is that it was literally the perfect pitch at the perfect time, exactly what you wanted to make. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't right down the middle, so it wasn't an obvious missed call, but it was exactly the pitch that you want a pitcher to make at that point, and it was clearly a strike. And it was one of the, I mean, listen, this umpire had to make 300 strike and ball decisions on this. There were probably 350 pitches on this game. But he missed that one, and the Twins bench exploded.
Yeah, they should have. It was a strike.
Next, there was a three-run home run, which put the Yankees up at that point. I don't know if it was 9-8 at that time, and that turned into 9-10 or two-run home run. That was one of those things where by the time that home run finished, that home run shot finished, Baldelli came out and started screaming at the umpire and got ejected.
Second time this year he's been tossed.
Yeah, it was... clips, you could probably find this. I think I've already seen it on Twitter. The clips in the first 5 seconds after that strike call is missed, they F-bomb. Immediately flash to Baldelli, who's throwing out the F-bomb.
Hell yeah.
Clear as day. I saw it on Fox Sports.
You see Tyler Duffy crouched down, looking absolutely stunned that the call wasn't made. Then you see his words as he's coming off of the field. And it was one of those perfect, this only happens against the Yankees kind of moments. That pitch does not
come. Man.
Hey, the only guy out of the pen that did well, and I don't know the guy's name because I believe, was this his debut?
Yeah, Stashek.
Yeah, that guy kind of rocked it, right? What's his deal? I don't know anything about him.
He was literally not just the only guy out of the pen, the only pitcher, really, who had a good outing last night was a Stashek. He was called up. Just before the Yankees series, he was called up in part because they thought they might need a long arm at some point if their bullpen got too tired. Sure enough, he filled that role. His numbers at... He's one of these guys that doesn't have a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. He's got like a 92, 93-mile-an-hour fastball. But for some reason, he keeps putting up fantastic numbers in the minors. And at some point, you go, well, maybe there's something there. He's doing something that we can't figure out. And in particular, it seems like maybe it's his spin rate or something. But, yeah, he came up for two. Fantastic story. Came up for two innings. Gave up a couple of hits, but was one of the few pitchers who didn't give up a lot of runs. And, it was nice to see him doing it and be nice to see him. I don't think he's the eighth inning or seventh inning setup answer for the Twins for the next, 3 months. But it was nice to have another reliable arm out there.
I asked Marnie Gellner yesterday afternoon, hey, you want to join the Power Trip Morning Show tomorrow? She's like, sure. I don't think she expected a five-hour baseball game that she had to work last night, but she did. So Marnie's here. But Kirk Cousins is going to join the Power Trip Morning Show right after this. And then after Kirk, we can go hardcore Twins Yankees with Marnie. And then Rosie's going to be here. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan. Kirk Cousins is next. And he told me that we make it till we graduate. So I told him that the music will be worth the wait. But you're listening to The Fan. All right, welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show. Marnie Gellner is here. Hi, Marnie. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Regretting agreeing to do this show since you were at the ballpark till 1?
The timing isn't great.
It's not great.
I got a nap in last night. It's fine.
You could have said no. I get it.
Well, I'd already said yes.
It's not like we're paying you a bunch of money to do this.
Oh.
Right.
What?
Right.
See you guys.
So 14-12, the Yankees come back and beat the Minnesota Twins. The Twins are keeping our attention, right? They're having a badass year. We'll talk all about that with Marnie and John Bonus and Mark Rosen and everybody else between now and the end of the show. But right now, let's check in at TCO. Our friend Kirk Cousins joins us now. Hi, Kirk.
Hey, guys. Good to be back on with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming back on. Quick heads up, Kirk. You were on, about a month and a half ago. You played initials. You got the last two right. Everybody was going crazy over Twitter about your performance. But The following week, Adam Thielen played, didn't do so well. So nicely done, you beat him. Then the week after that, Trevor May of the Twins played, and he was nice. We were friends. And then, like a week ago, Sauce ripped the hell out of him on Twitter because he had a bad outing for the Twins. So just a heads up, if you suck at any point for even one play, one play, Sauce is going to turn on you. So you better play really, really well this year, because even though you were very nice to us, he's quick to rip on Twitter. So just a quick heads up.
You know what? I appreciate the reminder, but it was totally unnecessary. After 7 years in pro football, I totally get the life that I live, and I fully expect every single one of you to turn your back on me instantly.
Here's the thing, though.
Good answer, Kirk. So well.
Here's the thing, though, Kirk Cousins. I will never turn my back on you. You're too nice of a human being. You bought all your linemen grills, which was a cool gesture by you. And I like you. You've always been nice to me, and you hugged me the first time you met me.
You'll like me more if we go 15-1.
Well, I'd like you. 16-0. I'll like you regardless, because it's not the kind of person I am.
Well, you liked Trevor when he was here, and then you ripped the hell out of him.
Yeah, but Kirk's here. Next segment, I'll just rip him apart.
It's like those commercials where they're like, you like your brother-in-law, but you'd like him more if you made more money than he did.
Correct, yeah. And you and I make about the same, so we're even.
You guys are similar, yeah.
How was your off-season, man? What you been up to? Did you play any golf? What did you do other than football during your off-season?
Yeah, I played golf, a lot of family time, went back to my hometown in Michigan, watched a lot of sunsets. It was a little too good, you know, when you come back yesterday and put in a 14, 15-hour day, you know, you kind of go from 0 to 100 right away. So we're in it now, and there's no turning back, and hopefully it ends with a Super Bowl in February. But there won't be any sunset watching for a while now.
So, Kirk, let's talk grills. Again, I guess you bought your lineman grills. Do you grill? And if you do, what do you do?
Yeah, I always used a gas grill in the past, and I got a pellet grill when we moved here last spring, and I really enjoyed using that. And, you know, the latest and greatest, you can, like, link it with your phone and change your grill temperature from your phone. It's pretty cool. So I don't even know if that kind of goes against man code to have that much technology with your grill. But I've enjoyed it, especially in the cold weather here in Minnesota in the winter, to be able to just stay inside and grill. But it's a lot of fun, and so I thought, you know, because I always struggle every year, like early December, my wife's like, it's that time of year again where we need to, you know, think about what the old lineman will move on. So this year I think the grill's just, it was a good fit, and so we were able to do that, and now we got to start thinking about next year.
Until I saw that video, Kirk, I had no idea that technology existed. When that guy in that video, when you gave all your linemen those Traeger grills, I had no clue you could literally start it from anywhere with your phone. I just assumed it was still, you know, fire, and you just had to press a button to work. Exactly. I didn't think you could do it on your phone. That was amazing.
You're learning, Paul.
It's almost too much technology, right? But it is pretty cool. And the wood pellets, you know, it's a little more high maintenance in terms of you got to constantly be refilling them, but the flavors helped. And I don't know, I just feel more important when I feel like I have this grill that I have to, like, take care of and oversee. It feels better.
So, Kirk, you're not required to get your linemen everything or anything. So when you see these stories like, you know, Russell Wilson gets all of his linemen X, or some other quarterback buys this, when you're thinking grill, are you thinking for even 1 second, God, I hope this is going to be enough. Are they going to bitch that I didn't buy them enough? I mean, you don't have to get them anything.
No, you definitely want to go overboard. You definitely want to feel like you spent too much, and hopefully they can get the message and appreciate it. And they always have. You know, the thing about our offensive line is they never ask for much. The nature of the position is you're just not going to get a lot of glory, and so they just go about their business not expecting much in return. So they really do appreciate it at the end of the year, and it's fun to be able to have that relationship with them and bless them in that way. And yeah, if you guys have any suggestions on Twitter, you know, get people to reach out and suggest what we should get them this year, because I'm always looking for ideas.
Couple things here. Don't encourage Twitter. It's mostly a cesspool of nonsense. And two, have you ever had an offensive lineman, maybe like someone like a significant other would do, where they drop hints where they're like, Kirk, man, have you been snowmobiling lately?
Like,
man, have you ever been to Bora Bora? Like, do you ever have offensive linemen that suggest things to you without, like, maybe subtly doing it?
I've also shot down like a really nice piece of, like, fitness equipment. They're like, yeah, don't get that. Like, we really don't want anything related to, like, health and wellness. And yeah, they'll be like, exactly, like you said, like, have you ever been to Bora Bora? Like, you know, I think there's a really cool travel agent in the area that could maybe get you a nice, like, package you put together. So I'd take any hint I can get.
Kirk, have you ever played Augusta, something like that, you know?
Exactly. Well, that would be a cool deal. I heard Peyton Manning took Jeff Saturday there as kind of a gift. I don't know if that was his birthday or just kind of as a thank you for protecting me for a decade, but if we get one of those decade guys, that's probably a good gift.
Hopefully it's Bradbury.
Yeah, maybe Bradbury. Marnie.
Kirk, good morning. I saw you earlier this summer at Target Field. You took some batting practice. You also did that last year. I'm guessing you did not watch all of the five-hour game last night in the epic battle with the Yankees, but did you see any of it? Have you paid attention to the Twins? Yeah. Can you feel the pain that Twin Cities sports fans are feeling this morning after that game against the Yankees?
Well, it was 9-5 when I went to bed. They were up, I believe.
Yep.
So I went to bed, and I would have thought, until you just said, have you felt the pain that they won? The night before was an epic win. So I'll take that. But no, I hadn't heard yet what happened last night. So I'm very disappointed to hear that.
Yeah, crazy comeback by the Yankees and a bunch of lead changes late. They come back and they win 14-12 over the Twins in 10 innings. We'll talk more about that later. But Kirk, the thing that you probably haven't been here long enough to experience is for the last, John Bonus, what, 10, 15 years, outside of that, the run early with Maurer and Morneau, the summer kind of sucks, and everybody just holds their breath until the Vikings training camp starts, which starts for you in a couple days here. But this season's different, right? This season, the Twins are so exciting that we've had something to watch for the last couple of months waiting for you guys to play some football.
Yeah, they've been outstanding, and I mean, all the home runs and all-stars, and it's a lot of fun. It's really a great, I mean, they have such history with the World Series and the big-time names like Harmon Killebrew and Kirby Puckett, and so it is a great organization and a great fan base, but yeah, like any sports team, you got to win. You know, when you're winning, it's a lot more fun to follow. So to have a summer like this where we can follow them all the way through into the fall, you know, I'm going to enjoy it. I've always enjoyed being able to follow baseball in the fall, and it kind of gives you a nice change of pace from football to get your mind off it a little bit when you go home at night and turn on a game. So I would love to see the Twins make a deep run in the fall. It'd be a lot of fun. A
couple of hardcore football questions, and we can move on and just have some more fun. But where do you stand on the 18-game bid?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, when you talk about player health and wellness, you can't really make it happen, I don't think. The 16 games where you play 16 and then you have two extras that other people play, I mean, it sounds good in theory. I think what that could do unintentionally with other issues would frustrate players. I don't think they'll be for that. I think that's a hard line in the sand that players have drawn for years now, that's just not something we're going to talk about or move on. There's a lot of other things to spend time and energy talking about how we can move or what we would change or what we can do differently or better. But the season length, I don't believe that's something we're going to entertain.
What about just as a guy who is a starting quarterback and a guy who doesn't miss games almost ever, do you also then hate the idea of an 18-game schedule, but every player would be required to max out at 16, so you would have to sit out too?
Yeah, it isn't a great thing. I mean, I think that idea is great until you talk to the people who are competing for their livelihoods, and the last thing they want is for somebody to come in and literally take their job for two games when they really shouldn't have to give it to them. You know, that just doesn't work. Especially if you are perfectly healthy for those 2 weeks, I certainly wouldn't like it. And as you get older, you know, you don't want people to get aged out of the league just because they now can put younger players in there. The best guy should play, period. And I wouldn't want to create a system where that doesn't happen.
Kirk, I've seen on Vikings.com that you're already in camp and working with some of these guys. What's it like working with your brand-new center, Garrett Bradbury?
Well, he's the real deal, you know, as an athlete, but also just as a teammate, as a person. He's not a immature guy or unintelligent. I mean, there's a reason the guy goes in the first round. They do their homework, and they realize this guy's the total package as a player and as a person, and so that makes a big difference. So I've enjoyed working with him, and, I mean, we just tip of the iceberg right now in terms of getting started, and like you mentioned earlier, hopefully it's a decade. Hopefully we're together a long time, and we build something special, but I think he's the real deal, and certainly there's growing pains, and no rookie just shows up and dominates usually, but he's got all the tools to be a really good player and to prove that, you know, that was a worthwhile draft pick for sure.
When you guys play together for a decade and you reward him with a trip to Augusta, I will most likely be unemployed, but I will be available.
You know what? I'm going to keep you on my short list for not so much golf in and around the Twin Cities. I think you've got that on lock. But if I get any unique opportunities nationwide, even maybe worldwide, I will keep you on my short list and we'll see where we can take that.
That's literally the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me.
Now it's going to be even more awkward when he rips you on Twitter, Kurt.
Or if he sees a social media post of me golfing at St. Andrews and he wasn't invited, it's also going to get awkward.
Yeah, I'll be standing in the gift shop staring out the window.
Oh, the rest of us will laugh so hard.
You're on the short list. You're not the list.
Yes. Oh, I appreciate it. Well, you're on my list.
Okay. Yeah. The first interception Kirk throws this year, you're going to go ballistic on Twitter, and I'm going to laugh so hard.
He won't throw one.
He's going to go like 30 touchdowns, no interceptions the entire year.
He's going to throw more than
30. Those are the expectations we know and love.
Right.
Right. Realistic expectations, right. No, like a 30-0 ratio. Kirk, thanks for joining us again. Hopefully we have you on the show sometime soon. We got to have you play initials at some point again in the future because you obviously did well last time. Good luck at training camp, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks probably.
All right, guys. Have fun, Kirk. The next few weeks. We'll touch base later. Thanks.
See Bye.
Kirk Cousins, quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. Don't forget, by the way, training camp free, right? Remember people freaked out about the ticketing situation? You can get to training camp for free. You just kind of have to basically say, hey, I'm on my way. Right? You just have to have tickets, but they're free tickets.
And the bleachers that they put in are massive now this year. There's plenty of room, and they've done a lot of great changes there. It's going to be a lot of fun this fall.
That was a big panic year one. What do I don't want to have tickets for training camp. They're free, dude.
Yeah.
You're fine. Right. Let's do Fan 5. Sauce, you lead the way, and of course, then we can get Marnie's take on what happened last night with the Minnesota Twins.
It's time for Fan 5, brought to you this hour by Culligan Bottled Water.
Thanks, Culligan.
The Minnesota Twins held the lead with their stellar bullpen over the Bronx Bombers. Nah, it was the exact opposite. If you went to bed when the Twins bumped the lead to 9-5, the nightmare at Target Field was far worse than the one you had. The Twins took that 9-5 lead into the eighth inning. The Yankees scored 5 in their half of the eighth. Blake Parker for the Twins was just shelled. He pitched a third of an inning, gave up 3 hits, 4 runs. Duffy came in, thought he closed out the inning, but he gave up 1 more run. Sano hit a 2-run bomb to make it 11-10 Twins, but with 2 outs in the ninth, Taylor Rogers gave up a 2-run home run to Aaron Hicks. The Yankees took the lead back at 12-1. Chapman 12-11, sorry. I missed the other one. Chapman walked the bases loaded, and the Twins only got 1 run, which was a sacrifice fly by Polanco in the bottom of the ninth to tie at 12-12. The Yankees got 2 in the 10th to make it 14-12, and the Twins had a shot in the 12th, but you guessed it, Aaron Hicks made a diving catch on a bases loaded smash by Max Kepler. Final score 14-12, Yankees win. Same two teams tonight, Jake Odorizzi for the Twins versus J.A. Happ for the Yankees. Game time is 7:10.
Marnie Gellner, Mark Parrish. Mark Parrish, Marnie Gellner.
Hi, Marnie. How you doing?
Good. Nice to see you. It's been a while.
It has been. How's your summer going? Pretty fun, I could only imagine.
You know, it's ups and downs. Yeah. It's ups and downs.
One of these downs is now, because she agreed to do this show yesterday afternoon, and she didn't know she was going to get
that on
out of the stadium
in.
At 1 o'clock.
And she's listening to me doing sports.
Right, so she's hating her life right now.
Now, the best part of your update, Sauce, was towards the end, when you're like, and you guessed it, Aaron Hicks made a diving catch. Like, anyone would have guessed that that's how the game would end.
See, Marty, this is why you're my spirit animal. This is why I love Marty. This is why you and I are the same person. Because that's what I do, is I nitpick everything that he says, because most of what he says is so ridiculous. Again, the game last night, we wish they would have won. There's no way people's nightmares were worse than a fun, entertaining baseball game.
It was a bit, you D-word.
What if I had a nightmare that, like, my kids were slaughtered in it's a baseball game! Your nightmares weren't as bad as the baseball game.
It was a bit.
Yeah, great bit.
Those are the losses I'm glad I don't play for the Islanders anymore, because all those Yankee fans out there would harass the crap out of me for last night.
Man.
I'm telling you, it runs deep out there, and they love to just crap on people.
That's hot. Hockey's now an Islanders fan.
There are a lot of them, too. There are a lot of them in the home ballpark of the Twins.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I have more sports if you guys care.
Hang on 1 second, though. So I'm permanently retired from poker, but back in the day when you'd get knocked out of a tournament, you'd spend the whole drive home, right, second-guessing, like, did I do the right thing? What did I do? Should I have done something different? Watching the replay right now in the studio, this sucks. Can we turn this off?
Yeah.
Right now, the bases are loaded in the bottom of the ninth, and the Twins are down a run.
It sucks knowing what's going to happen. All these opportunities. We've already seen the Duffy strike that wasn't called. Right. The Taylor Rogers two-run home run given up to Aaron Hicks. Like, everything that's going wrong, it sucks to watch it again.
And because the Yankees, it's all ESPN is showing. It's off. It's been on to my left the entire show.
Well, it was a great game. Arnie was there for all 5 hours of it.
You guessed it. Yes, I was.
You guessed it. What a nightmare.
What if one of the people in this room didn't watch last night?
What if the what now? Say it again.
There's one person here that didn't watch a stitch of it last night and wouldn't mind seeing a couple of the heartbreaks.
So I'm guessing that's you.
Yeah, I was fishing last night.
Night fishing.
Great boy.
I go to bed early when I have to wake up early. I don't know if you know this, Marty, but sleep is incredibly important to me.
That's his favorite thing.
You know, I got like 3.5 hours. Right. I know.
Right.
That's my normal everyday nap.
What time are you fishing last night then? Like 11 p.m.?
No, I was 7. Asleep way before then. I was off the water about 9-ish. Came home, had dinner, and I didn't watch the Twins.
You're allowed to do that. I almost never watch the Twins. I did watch it last night. I fell asleep when they were up, but that's all right.
Ratings, thanks.
I love to watch the Twins, especially when they play the Yankees. The Islander thing, that runs deep. I'm telling you, there's no one in this state that wants the Twins to kick the Yankees' ass more than me.
Sure.
You are probably happier for not having watched that game. Truth be told.
You know, it was a nightmare. Thank you, John. I appreciate that.
The first two games, you're the wisest of us.
Conscious decision. I'll leave it with that.
Well, the first two games have been incredible. And I honestly don't remember what happened in the first game, but I remember thinking, what a great game. Yeah. And then last night,
Who remembers game one?
You know what? Can I say something about you, Marnie? You know, like when we do this all the time with Rob Brzezinski of the Vikings, because he's this cap specialist, and we got the best cap specialist in the business, Rob Brzezinski of the Vikings. None of us can name any cap specialist from any other team, right? So it's just, we just know that the one that we have seems to be pretty good.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't watch other teams' broadcasts of baseball, so I have no idea.
Ours is the best.
I have no idea how good you are, but you seem super good.
Yeah, and, well, that's accurate.
I think we have the best. Mm-hmm. Your bit last night about the Dominican water jug cap thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was super cool.
I think you're awesome.
That was a nice little story. I like that bit.
Thank you.
From mall the TV ball or whatever. They hit it with sticks and...
Mm-hmm. The handle of a broom and then the water cap bottle. Nelson Cruz was saying that they, you know, you just don't have a lot of money, a lot of those families, and kids in the neighborhood would take the caps off of a bottle. It's kind of like a mini little Frisbee, like a disc. You can throw it sidearm, you can throw it like a Frisbee,
and they hit it.
I have no idea.
I would swing at that for the rest of my life and not hit it, but apparently they hit it pretty hard.
The guys with experience hit it well. Actually, Taylor Rogers also was out there at Nicollet Mall yesterday, and he hit a home run.
Wow. Pretty cool.
Cool, I didn't watch that. If you're involved in not watching it, you're mean to me now.
Okay. That's how quick he flips.
Yep.
Maybe you could see it on the FSN replay.
I'm not watching that.
Yeah, see, there's the old sack fly. We're watching the replay right now.
We're tied!
The Twins tied! 12-12.
When does the nightmare start?
Only one.
Oh, this is why I don't put effort into stuff.
That's why.
Oh, no. I have more.
The best in the we got to go to break. The best in the business is here. Marnie's here. John Bonus, you can hang out for a little bit. Rosie,
hang out
until Rosie leaves or until Rosie gets here, then you can get the hell out of here. Parrish is here. Zach Halverson, Meats Awesome, Corey Coben. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan.
Enter to win a pair of tickets to see Joe Rogan at the XL Energy Center on September 14th. Go to KFAN.com. Keyword contest. The Beaver.
This is just for Paul Charchin, but it's already happening. It's July 24th, and pumpkin spice Kit Kats are on their way. So it's already starting. We're not even close to fall or Thanksgiving, and pumpkin spice products are already... Mm-mm-mm. On the shelves.
That's disgusting.
Pumpkin pie flavored Kit Kats. Tell me you love this song.
I love this song.
I think one time
movie.
Hockey was gone and Corey and I played this for every song back from every break.
That sounds right.
Marnie, is this Vision Quest?
No.
What song is this?
This is Hungry Eyes from Dirty Dancing.
Oh,
Eric Carmen, man.
Together, bonus. My 80s movies references.
See, Marnie, I'm convinced.
I can see the dance right now.
This is a good smooching
song. Burning my eyes forever. See, look, I'm convinced. Look, you have your husband, I have my wife. I'm not asking to marry you. But I think we make a good enough team where we should go Boondock Saints on it, where you and I just start taking out people that we don't care for.
Boom.
You know what I mean?
The world is ours.
I'll be Sean Patrick Flannery. You can be Norman Reedus, and we'll just take everybody out.
No, I don't want that. Why? I'd be gone.
Well, yeah, you'd be the first on the list. Marnie doesn't like you either. She doesn't like your sports updates.
I like sauce.
Are you sure?
You know he's going to rip you on Twitter.
No, I'm not.
That's what he does to people that he likes.
No, I don't.
We're not like that. I mean, you should have seen the hug that he gave me outside the studio just a few minutes ago.
You're a gal. He likes hugging gals.
I didn't hug
her. That's
what he does. I walked away.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I wish Parrish had his headphones on right now to contribute to this story.
I don't know what Parrish is doing.
He's cleaning fish guts off his shirt.
He's got the plug of the mic and the headset. I went outside the door. I hadn't seen in the flesh. I hadn't seen Sauce or Parrish. So I walked outside the door and I went to get my hug. And Meat Sauce was going in this door over here, like to the side. And so I kind of walked towards him and he walked directly away. And I had and I went, I made the motion and Mark saw it. And he was like, oh, a total rejection.
A whiff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blew her right off.
Yeah. It was painful.
It sounds like Paul.
That's not who I am. You guys make me sound like a monster.
You've passed up my hugs before.
Yeah, that's you're normally sweaty.
But nobody.
Hey, I got some Twins positivity for you. Right. Let's dive into the game that's not all the negativity that they lost 14-12 in extra innings in the 10th. How about Polanco and Sano both crossed the 15 home run mark. Sano's up to 16 because he got his 15th and 16th. They now have, the Twins now have, 8 players with 15 home runs or more. That is a club record and one off the major league record. If they can get one more guy to 15, we have the major league record. For play, it's July 24th, and we already have 8 at 15. Who's the closest? I got to look it up. Who's the next closest?
Castro, maybe? Somebody's sitting at 9.
We are at...
Or wait, you're talking 15, right? It wasn't double digits.
Yep. Let's see here. Home runs for the Twins. Marwin Gonzalez has 11. Then Castro has 10.
Okay.
Buxton has 9. So one of those three needs to get to 15 and we tie the major league record.
I mean, name a record that we're not close to breaking offensively. It's kind of ridiculous, especially in the home run department.
I believe, isn't it something, Bonus, you can back me up on this, isn't it something like there's five teams in Major League Baseball are on pace to break the home run record? Yeah, the Yankees last year, but of course the Twins are on pace for the most.
It's been a while since I've checked to see exactly how many there were. At one point there were 5. I know like a month and a half ago there were at least 5 that were close to. I don't know if that many teams have kept up that pace. But
I thought I read it like 3 or 4 days ago, I think it still is.
Yeah. I believe
it's kind of crazy. Let's see here. The top
but as
the
fans...
league. Go ahead.
As you guys are all fans of the Twins, has this not been fun and enjoyable and exciting? And
entertained?
I am not a baseball purist. Where like I hear Common talk about, he likes the 2-1 games.
Boring.
Nobody likes that.
Nobody
likes that.
No one. No, that's
now,
old man baseball.
I don't need 14-12 in 10 innings.
I do
over 5 hours.
The 5 hour thing.
But that was an incredibly entertaining game. And if we didn't have the offenses that we have for these two teams, we would not have had that kind of game.
I don't care for baseball much. I really don't. It's one of my least favorite sports. Although this season is the most fun I've had watching Twins baseball in a long time. I bet you last season I watched a total of about 5 innings. Total. This year,
like,
I think I've...
Innings?
Innings. It just doesn't do much for me. But this year, it's fun. And... I'm glad you brought up Common because, again, the 2-1 pitching duel does nothing for
me.
No. I'm like a chick. Chicks dig the long ball. I want to see home runs, and this year's been unbelievable. 191 home runs from Minnesota, 173 for the Dodgers, 171 for Milwaukee. The Yankees are at 170, and then Seattle and Houston at 168.
I love how all the baseball fans are complaining about home runs and all that because... all the NHL is trying to do is score more goals.
Right.
Yeah, why do you think soccer struggles in this country?
Right?
Well, it's boring.
If soccer games were 6-5, we'd watch.
Probably, yeah.
That would be super exciting. It's hard to get into a defensive battle and entertain people. People like offense.
I got into that with Koski on Twitter a little bit, and then it got into a text chain, and I left it alone on Twitter. But I understand that whole traditionalists and I love when two goalies are standing on their head and there's nothing but highlight film saves. That's a great game. Well, it's also a great game if you score 6-5 and they're all great goals. I mean, it just... Either way, it's an exciting game. It's a one goal game, or it's a one run game, or whatever it is, or it goes into extra innings. 5 hours might be a little long. I'm glad I played hockey. It's very regimented on time.
It's like 2.5.
Perfect. Well,
specifically with this Twins team, you never feel like they're out of it because the offense has been so potent, and because they can give you multiple. You just, as people get on base, you're like, all right, now it could be a 3-run home run. You know what I mean? You just never feel like this team is out of it. It makes the game that much more, certainly much more interesting than we've seen since 2011.
So, Marty, you have hope again.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, it's just fun to be in the mix for once.
Yes, right.
First time in a long time.
It's fun that late July games matter.
And, Marty, we've been asking you about this the last couple times you've been in. Doing 162 games or however many are on your docket, it's tough for Fox Sports to broadcast a losing team over and over and over again, because, as you've said, it's hard to generate that many stories. This year, there's a plethora of good stories. Give me your number one. Now that we're, 100 games or so into the season, what's your top story so far for you personally this season?
Individual player story?
Sure.
Or just...
Yep. Whatever sticks out to you, that's my eighth story. That's my favorite bit that we've done all year.
Oof. Gosh. Top of the head, it's offense. It's got to be home runs, but we have conference calls every day at 10 a.m., and we have talked about different ways to talk about home runs. Because we have asked the same players the same kind of question, but you roll it up in a different kind of ball.
Launch angle things and all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, or as it started this season, and we suddenly had a bunch of different guys. Okay, now it's how many different guys in the lineup have the power? How nice is it to distribute? Then it was guys reaching double-digit home runs, and then it was 20, and then it was how we hit so many 3-run home runs, and then it went quiet, and now 5 home runs in a game, 8 home runs in a game twice. It's just repackaging and finding different and new ways. It's a challenge, actually, for something that is so positive, but to take a different look at it or find a new interesting layer to... The home run.
The easy one is once the Twins get close to the record is tracking the record, right? Every home run. So I have some kind of cool counter. Like,
How
close you get to the record for most home runs in a season. Because
we might be doing that in a month, though.
I know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it might not be that far out.
But up until then, we've had updates of, okay, as of today, they passed the home run total of the 1974 team, or of the 1978 team, or the 1943 team.
After
the first game, it was that the Twins had 5 home runs in a game 8 different times this season. And right. Only the Twins, the 2019 Twins, and the 1977 Red Sox are the only teams to have ever done that.
Right.
And the Twins are already there on July 20.
Yep.
Yep.
2nd or whatever it was.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And they got another game versus the Yankees tonight.
Do
which I assume you have to work.
So
10 o'clock conference call. When are you going to work in a nap? You going to nap today?
Me? Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, 100%.
You were talking to Marnie.
Who's going to nap longer today? Mark, because it's a normal Wednesday, or Marnie because of the grind of her schedule? Mark's got his hand up. He thinks he'll out-nap you.
When do you want to start?
Why don't you joint nap and see who wakes up first?
That'll be out.
Sauce.
I won't even hug her. Why would I nap with her?
Okay.
That wasn't the word I thought you were going to trigger.
John, thanks for your bonus time.
Bonus
this morning.
Yep. Bye, bonus. Love you.
Where can people read you or hear you?
You can listen to us at KFAN at 4 o'clock on Sundays, or check out GleemanandTheGeek.com, or if you want to hear more about last night's game, go to Patreon.com/Gleeman.
Marty Gellner is here. Mark Parrish is here. Zach Halverson, Meat Sauce. I'm Corey Cove. Rosie right around the corner. We'll do Vikings news and talk more about the Twins game and play Triangle of Death a little bit later. It's the Power 2 Morning Show right here on The Fan.
You're listening to The Fan. The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Power 2 Morning Show. It's an absolutely packed studio. I'm Corey Cove. There's Meat Sauce Paul Lambert. Chris will be back tomorrow. But Marnie Gellner is here. Mark Parrish is here. Zach's hanging out. And Mark Rosen joins now. And Mark, you were there the entire time, all 5 hours of that baseball game. Minus about 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah. It was 14. Well, actually, we're exactly at this point where the game is.
On Fox Sports North right now.
Yeah, correct. 14 to 12, top of the 10th.
So you bailed because you thought it was over.
No, I bailed because my daughter had to get up this morning. So
Marnie had to get up?
She's here. I had to get. You go to bed at 9 o'clock.
That's true, you do.
You're such a fraud.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a bigger fraud than I am.
Thanks for updating us on the Cleveland score. None of us have a phone that can tell us that.
Well, like I said, since when do you pay attention to anything?
What?
But anyway, you were there for most of the game.
I was there for 3-4. And I made it home, and I live 5 minutes from the ballpark, so it's a beautiful thing. So,
sick brag, bruh.
Who is this guy interrupting all the time?
I don't know.
Were you in the press box?
I was a fan. I bought my tickets, unlike Sauce. I bought my tickets and sat in the stands and had a blast. A lot of great people around us. It was really an amazing environment last night. I mean, it was a perfect, as we know, a perfect summer night. Yankees are in town. I got a lot of Yankee fans, which adds to the atmosphere, I think, a lot. And it's a July game. You have to keep reminding yourself it's not October. It's July. And their starting pitcher, who was a 12-game winner, got knocked out right away. The Twins just annihilated him. Gibson couldn't hold the lead. Shocking. The whole thing was just turned into this slow-pitch softball game. I think you guys, where there's many runs scored, is maybe in the slow-pitch softball game the other night. That's what it felt like as the game wore on. But it had a little bit of everything. Tremendous defensive plays. Polanco made a couple plays that were under the radar that get lost in the shuffle of this 14-12 game and the Hicks catch at the end of the game, but he saved a couple of runs. The umpire behind home plate should have been in single A. Just some horrific balls and strikes calls. He's inexperienced and led to Baldelli's ejection. So you had that going on. The home run barrage, the pitching issues. The Twins lost, but it was.
That's all unforgettable that's one game.
For one game.
About.
Oh, by the way, they play again tonight. I mean, this is the thing. And and honestly, when you start, and people, and I understand all the hand wringing, and I keep trying to tell, let's just wait till next week. The deadline is next week. Let's see where this goes next week. We can't make a decision on what this team is going to look like until that happens. But in the meantime, Marnie, we talked about it on the air a couple weeks ago when Common was on. I mean, just. How do you not enjoy this? I mean, it's scintillating stuff that we're seeing and historic in a lot of ways. And the games this weekend against the White Sox actually probably mean more to the Twins than the Yankees. You just keep going on and on and on. You don't stop, even though he had a game like last night, which is so isolated and so unique. And I probably kept a lot of people up real late last night, but. Hey, it's summertime. When was the last time we had a chance to do this with the Twins? It's been a long time.
How about it's been not just last night. The night before was an awesome win.
Another great
Sunday
game.
Afternoon was a walk-off win.
Correct.
Saturday was unbelievable drama against Oakland. This homestand
has been terrific.
Has been ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. When you play, Kansas City all the time and Detroit. And
like Cleveland does?
Well, till next week. It all changes next week.
If you want a podcast, the show
we did.
That Rosie and I did together, Seth.
That's way too much effort for Sauce.
Yeah, I don't even know where to find that. Plus, KFN tweets about Geezer Butler instead of stuff like that.
Anyway.
He's right.
Thank you,
Corey. Fun night sharing it with some nice folks that we met sitting along our row. It was a good time. Hmm. Yeah,
I saw a couple of tweets about the fans in general, that the Twins fans... Mm-hmm. And I talked to somebody after the game last night, too, on the Twin side, who said this as well. I don't want to rip because I don't have the same opinion. And I hear it differently because I'm down in the camera well and I've got an earpiece in my ear.
So I hear half
of ambient noise and half of a broadcast. But there were a couple of remarks about this fan base. It's not enough. They're not energetic enough. They're not on you enough. It's sort of just polite and, if there's a home run, we'll get up. And you feel like there wasn't that? And if you've been to Yankee Stadium, maybe that's not a fair comparison.
No, it's not a fair comparison.
But it's not even close.
No, it's not even close to Yankee Stadium. And I think it's, we as Twins fans have this sort of phobia, especially when the Yankees come to town, that bad things are going to happen. And it's sort of the Minnesota sports fans' way of looking at things that it's Murphy's Law. I mean, it's going to happen. At some point, Lucy's going to pull a football away from Charlie Brown again and again and again. And it happens all the time. So there's this trepidation, I think, from fans. Like, I don't want to get too excited, even though they're winning 8-2. But the moments, I mean, Snow hit those bombas last night. And that second one, I mean, the crack of the bat, got everybody up roaring. So there are moments when the fans are into it, and Rosario's up, and they're all chanting Eddie and the whole bit. But it's not a sustained thing. And then when the Yankees come back, I mean, the silence you hear is Target Field. I mean, you're in the dugout. Hear a pin drop last night when the Yankees came back.
Yes. And that's what I think the difference is. And I have been to Yankee Stadium, both old and new, several times.
Right.
So again, I'll say that maybe that's not a fair comparison because that's probably the gold standard. But let's say, for example, the one game wild card playoff game 2 years ago.
Right.
When
the
Twins scored three runs in the top of the first inning. Irvin Santana walked the first batter of the bottom of the first. And
place went nuts.
You would have thought the Yankees just hit a walk-off grand slam because it was so loud and intense. It was a walk, and it was the first batter. But that's the kind of reaction that those fans have.
I think
so. It doesn't need a Miguel Sano three-run home run. It needs the single that leads to it, or the stolen base that puts the guy in scoring position. That there's not quite the reaction.
I would assume that come October, if things break well for the Twins and they have that opportunity here, I think you'll see It'll happen here with as much the way when the Wild, you know, go through the regular season, and when they do make the playoffs, you know, the building sounds much different and Mark Parrish could speak to this better than anyone. The building just comes alive from the national anthem, and I think you would see that at Target Field. They had those moments last night that stood out, but it was a great atmosphere, and I like the fact the Yankee fans are in town. I mean, it adds to it. People
you do.
The Yankee fan absolutely. I think it's. I mean, I don't.
You got to have opposing fans in the building.
Absolutely. When Milwaukee comes to town, I mean, it just adds. As long as you know,
those are drunks.
Not drunk as Scotties, right?
Exactly. So, well, just reading between the lines, just so everybody, let's just sum up the last 5 minutes. Basically, what Marty's saying is it's the fans' fault.
Let's get it.
The station. Forget the bullpen. The Yankees. It's just
our
we're not cheering loud enough, and it's the fans' fault.
It's our Nordic passive aggressive. I don't want to get anybody upset around me. Kind of.
Let's take it up a notch. That's not even Marty. That is a definitive Fox Sports North statement.
That's right there.
A company, they believe it's the fault of.
I'll tell you what. I have been at Target Field for. A lot of games this season. The fans have been fantastic. Yeah. It's so awesome
too.
There's a reverberation that you can feel even if you just walk in when a place is full. And we have felt that since May. It's fantastic.
It's been incredibly fun this summer for me, being able to, you know, being out in New York for a few years and going to Yankees games, going to Mets games. The Yankees, there's this in the fan base, there's this belief, there's this Yankee magic that no matter until that game is over, they believe that that team is going to win. Like no matter what the score is, somebody's going to come up with a play. Now, granted, on a 20-some World Series championships or whatever that they have is probably going to build in a pretty good base for that belief.
Yeah.
But they have this belief, so there's always positive. So when they kind of walk away lost, they're almost
stunned, a swagger.
The fans.
Yeah.
We're kind of the opposite here.
As a state, we just assume it's always going to go wrong.
Yeah, it's like that's our mindset. You're like, in the second inning, if they're like, here we go again. So now to go back, like to have that positivity, to have that hope this summer is just
that's
much fun.
Charlie Brown point, right? Yeah. Just assume eventually it's going to get pulled
out
from underneath us.
That's why the Minneapolis Miracle, that moment when Keenum hit Diggs, was like, wait, this can't be happening to us.
Right.
That doesn't happen in Minnesota. We don't win games like that.
I slapped Jeff Tyler on the butt when that happened. I'm not kidding.
How many times have you done that
HR file?
Oh, probably a lot. By the way, that was...
It's time for Vikings News.
Yeah!
Let's go! Presented by...
Petco, your truck accessories, bro.
Well, real quick, because we actually do have Vikings News.
Yes,
not only do they start training camp here in a couple days, but Vikings cornerback Holton Hill has been suspended an additional 4 games by the NFL, this time for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He was previously suspended for 4 games
for PEDs. So that totals 8 games without pay.
Holton for Hill substance can, abuse?
This one's substance abuse.
What are you thinking?
What?
So now it's 8 total, 4-4. So he can still participate in training camp and preseason, but the Vikes are going to be without second-year guy Holton Hill for 8.
I don't know if we'll ever hear from him again.
Yeah, that may be
that's
the, they really
awful.
Liked him, too, but man, he just can't stay out of his own way.
No.
My own worst enemy.
Yeah.
I mean,
why is the punishment more for substance abuse than spousal abuse?
A lot of people said a little bit weird that the other Hill, Tyreek Hill, got 0 games, but now Holton Hill's having an 8-game suspension between the two combined.
Yep. Hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I think a lot of people are not happy that there are other domestic abuse suspensions getting handed out by the NFL, but
right.
The Tyreek Hill one's a sticky one, but people are a little upset that it's 0.
Yeah. Yeah,
they should be.
He seems like he's garbage
the
anyway.
The specifics of all that and how, I think that's a head scratcher and then some, that it is 0.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
did they prove that he broke his son's arm or not?
What?
Oh, yeah. He had a three-year-old son break his arm, and the story was that it was him that did it. But I guess they haven't been able to prove that.
How did social services get beyond the NFL?
I don't know. I don't know the details.
We're not living in that city to understand what's going on, the specifics. But, yeah, it seemed like it was all against him. And the NFL needs to.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
as who's the Pro Football Talk guy?
Mike Florio.
Mike Florio said yesterday with PA that they need to find a way to not have the NFL can't be the judge, juror, and executioner. They got to have someone else do that. That's the problem. Is they just manage it and they take care of it and it never works out.
It's all in house,
right? It's all in house.
Find some kind.
Yeah,
of
they
got
to find somebody else to do it.
Sure. Fan 5 is next. The 8 o'clock hour will feature Marnie Gellner, Mark Rosen, Mark Parrish. We'll play Triangle of Death at some point. And the studio's packed, so you actually have a lot of options today. Giving away those X Games tickets and so on and so forth later. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan.
Fan.
You are my fire.
Sex!
The one desire.
Sex!
Check out our contest page and register for your shot to win your way into U.S. Bank Stadium for an exclusive live Power Trip broadcast at the X Games. You can win wristbands to see their show from 5:30 to 9. Tickets to the X Game for that Friday, and your chance to be drawn as a finalist for the grand prize trip to see X Games in Aspen, Colorado. Go to KFAN.com, keyword contest, for more info.
I always do it on company time.
Rosie, why do you yell that?
I always do it on company time.
Self-explanatory.
Might as well get paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hawk and Sauce are going to live forever.
We are?
Yep.
Oh, boy, I don't want to know what
I heard
this
Hawk
is.
May have passed.
No, he's going to live forever because dead. There's a new study out of Australia saying that crying may actually be extremely good for your health.
Yeah, I'm shocked you're not dead.
Me?
Yeah, you don't never cry.
I don't ever cry.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm a medical marvel. You guys are going to apparently live forever because you guys
marvel.
Don't cry.
How's
you
your
guys
penis?
Do cry. It's fine.
Are you sure?
What? That was an interesting segue.
It was bleeding.
Rosie, I've been bleeding off and on.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah. Pay attention.
And I'm no genius, okay? But Corey goes to the doctor all the time. I think the doctor just wants to see his crank. It must be magnificent.
Thank you.
Yeah, like no doctor's ever seen mine and gone, should come back.
Well, Rosie, think about it. Because, look.
Marnie, don't act like you're disgusted. Yeah,
let's brag. Welcome to the Power Trip,
Marnie. Let's brag a little bit. Let's brag a little bit, right? This is Major Market Morning Radio. This show does well, right?
Right. Yes, it does.
Based on the last handful of months of my urinating blood and the penis
very
scope
personal,
that I had to give, which is the worst thing ever. You could say that my genitals are the most famous genitals in the Twin Cities the last 4 or 5 months. At least the most talked about.
Correct. No question about it.
Maybe not the most famous, but that might be a poor way of wording it, but most talked about in the Twin Cities in the last 4 or 5 months. That's male or female. Kinda cool.
It's very
That's
cool.
Kinda cool.
I mean, is that a good
badge
thing?
Of honor?
I mean, it's not in the news
you
for a good
badge,
reason,
right?
But hey, man, like Saw says about the Twins, when he rips the Twins, he's like, at least I'm talking about them.
Yeah. You're
talking do I want to be peeing blood? Do I want to have kidney stones? No. But it gets people talking about
it. Is it resolved now?
Right.
Or is it?
I don't think so.
No, I think the doctor just wants to see it. It must be magnificent. It must, you know, that thing must come out and he must go, wow.
I think it's the latter.
Yeah, he just wants to run up my bill.
I don't think he charges you, Corey. I think he walks out, the doctor walks out, sees you in the waiting room and just goes, cancel all my plans. Corey, you're up next. It's like the part in Pulp Fiction where they open the thing full of gold or whatever it is.
Right. Why would he have to cancel his plans? I have an appointment.
Understand. Yeah, but he wants to see you first.
I'm next. I'm there on time.
Yeah, good point.
Let's do Fan 5.
Why?
It's time for Fan 5, brought to you by Garage Solutions Minneapolis.
And GarageSolutionsMinneapolis.com. Thanks, GarageSolutionsMinneapolis.com.
Man.
We haven't talked a little bit, a lot at least, about Byron Buxton, Marnie, but Marnie, he is still on the IL. That's because he had three wisdom teeth removed. Not only does he have concussion issues, but last week he had an infection with one of his wisdom teeth, so he had to have three removed. So Baldelli said it's kind of good timing, kind of not, right? It's kind of good that it overlapped with the concussion problem, so he didn't have to have two separate IL stints, but clearly they thought he was going to be ready faster than this, but it sounds like he's going to be back soon. Yeah.
Better timing would have been the off season or in high school or whatever, but it is what it is. And yeah, he went on the IL, the 7-day concussion specifically IL, which didn't used to exist before a couple of years ago. And so he's actually been cleared, from what I understand, on that. Rocco said that there are his concussion symptoms or any signs thereof that doesn't exist. So he's good to go there, but it's just the wisdom teeth. And I would imagine, my brother just had his wisdom teeth out last week, and he's also an adult. And right. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. I had mine out in high school. What?
I got mine out about a year and a half ago.
I never had mine out.
Taken out.
Yeah.
How many? Three? Four?
Just the two on the top. Yep. And I think it took maybe like a day and a half to feel normal again.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had to run, I mean, he could dive and jump, sure. and the movement and right.
It was a day and a half before I could comfortably sit on my couch and play video games in my 62-degree
basement. Well, thank God for that.
Not chasing down fly balls in center.
No, so I have no idea.
You guys
hopefully we see...
teeth, hockey player right here.
There we go.
And then you get all your teeth knocked out?
Yeah, well, why would you have three? Yeah, four of the top and finish.
In a game?
Yep. First period.
It's like a second grader school picture.
Weren't the nerves hanging out?
Yes, they were. I finished the game. That was the end of the first. Not so humble brag. I might have scored the game winner in the third. But anyway.
With no teeth?
I had my wisdom teeth taken out. It's not fun. It hurts. No, I did not play a hockey game that night. I waited till the end of the season. But why would you... Three? There's only four.
Why not take
the
other one?
Why leave the one?
Not everybody has four.
Yeah, some people have two, three, four. So maybe.
Why do we even have those? I mean, what is the point? Who came up with this? Look at my sweet wisdom teeth.
Right. Who are the ad wizards who came up with this one?
Sasko goes to his guy doctor. Is he like, hey, also look at this wisdom?
A couple things here, Marnie. I have immaculate teeth. Except for the back. The back are train wrecks.
That's because those are his actual teeth. The rest of them are fake.
The fake ones are perfect.
Did you get wisdom veneers, too?
I don't know. What the hell's a veneer?
Here's all you need to know, Marnie. We like to repeat stories in the Power Trip Morning Show, but this is one of my all-time favorite stories. Can you tell the dentist story in under 30 seconds?
Yeah, when I was...
This is all true, Marnie, by the way. Sauce likes to exaggerate. This is not an exaggeration.
Not all the time. I've tried to get better. I'm trying to not to complain as much, which I broke at like 4 this morning. To the dog, so not a good start. Anyhow,
this is a true story.
I had braces, and I had a giant gap right here. My friends used to call me like jack-o'-lantern. One guy asked if my teeth were in jail. My tongue was in jail. It was mean. That's Randy. He's really mean to me. So I had braces. I went to get them out. The orthodontist took them out and had to have a retainer with a fake tooth in it. Well, the fake tooth was embarrassing. It was just hideous looking. To keep the space not from filling in, and then they had to fill it and all that.
And how long were you supposed to wear the retainer?
3 months.
How long did you wear the retainer?
12 hours. I lost it out on the boat, and I went back for my 3-month checkup, and I'm not kidding you. I laid back, up in my mouth. He started screaming, gee, damn it, Paul. What a waste of money, and started like yelling
so
at me.
So he was furious.
He was
at Paul.
Furious yeah. with me.
Yelling at yelling. The top of his lungs because Paul
Gee,
had wasted money
just
in 3 months.
His time and money because my teeth went to hell. They shifted in 3 months. He or died the next day of a heart attack.
Wait, what?
He died the next
the
day,
next day of, a heart attack.
Of a heart
True
attack.
Story, yeah.
So
yeah.
you gave him a heart attack?
I've not 24 no, hours according after to, he yelled according at Paul,
according
he died.
To my, according to my lawyer, I'm not directly in trouble.
But you aided and abetted.
He screamed and was so pissed. He had a heart attack.
So it's one of my all-time favorite stories. When you want to say, well, how bad,
killed
how,
the I expected to hear.
How bad were Sauce's teeth in high school? They killed a guy.
Yeah, they killed a guy.
That's how bad
like,
they were.
They used to call me Wendy's napkin teeth. They were so yellow. I mean, you thought the sun was coming up. They're great now.
I may regret the follow-up, but why at the end of your braces did you have a gap the size of a jail cell bar?
Because they were going to put a tooth in there. And you can't
one
put
fake
a,
one?
A fake
so
tooth.
So you had braces to create a gap.
No. I had.
It sounds like it.
I That's had braces.
What, That's what you...
Yeah, yeah, maybe now.
To create a gap to put a fake tooth in.
He
How about
know
have
what
braces
about.
To close the gap
no, I had,
and not need the fake tooth?
But you can't. But then, because I had no, I didn't have, like, in this vicinity right here, there was no tooth. They're not going to shift them all to the right.
That's what they do.
Yeah, they
That's
do.
That's what braces
but
do.
But I needed a tooth there.
You were missing a whole tooth.
I was missing an entire tooth. Because if you shift them right, they're just going to be a gap
didn't wear
over
your
here.
Retainer.
No, he I dropped lost it in the lake. In the
Pull
lake.
Them all forward
oh, I didn't
and
hear
put
that?
The gap
oh, my
in the back.
God, why don't you go get back and get another one?
Because he didn't want to. He said
God,
he didn't
no
want to wear
he had
the
a heart
retainer
because
it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
So, again, you didn't waste the doctor's money. The dentist got paid.
No,
you wasted
somebody,
your
yeah.
dad's money.
Yeah, somebody, yeah.
Right.
But
right.
the oh, dentist was so paid. Pissed that he yelled and then had a heart attack 24 hours later
That's
and died.
That's amazing.
All the times I've been in a dentist chair, I have never killed a dentist.
Sauce did.
Yeah, I did. And then I got fake teeth. And now everything's great.
Here's some other sports news that's not Twins related because we've been hitting it hard. We'll get back to the Twins in a little bit. But Mark Sanchez, remember him? Retiring from
butt
the
fumble.
NFL. Yeah, right, exactly. Butt fumble and fumble in 2012. He had a 10-year career, but he's retiring. He's going to join ABC/ESPN as a college football analyst.
Good
of
for
course
him,
he
man.
God, I'm glad I'm not remembering
like
for a
him.
Butt fumble.
Butt fumble.
Buyout sounds actually a little bit better than fumble.
Isn't Sanchez the one that Carly's obsessed with?
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe
she
thinks he's
she's very shallow.
Quite attractive. She really is.
I love Carly.
I'm tired of being just
like
physically
Gail,
judged by
Carly's
her.
Really shallow.
I hate Gail.
Who's Gail?
That's Gail her. Is her drunk alter ego.
Yeah.
And Gail is mean.
Gail's,
Gail's mean.
Crazy promiscuous. Oh, she yeah. is.
Correct.
She has no filter. She... probably says a lot of racist stuff. I don't know Gail. I've never met her.
Jason loves the first part about Gail.
he does.
The promiscuous part.
Zion Williamson signed a shoe deal with Jordan Brand of Nike's. The terms were not disclosed, but Zion reportedly had other offers from other competitors at around $10 million a year, ladies and gents.
Mm-hmm.
67% of NBA players wear Nike.
No
but only
way.
That's true. But only 7% wear Jordan brand Nike, so they're trying to up that factor.
Good for him.
They have signature shoes from Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. Kind of weird. They just get traded for each other. But, of course, Zion now will be the face of the Jordan brand moving forward. So.
You know, I think he should have stayed at school another year.
Right. Hasn't stepped foot on an NBA court
and he's no. made 75
and $10 million a year. So,
yeah. Yep.
At and he stuck with Nike after the shoe blew
stuck
out.
Stuck with Nike after the shoe blew out.
You know whose shoe I'm anxious to see? Isn't I want to say did Kawhi sign with New Balance?
Yeah, he
some
yeah,
big
he had,
guy,
like
some
last
big name.
Year, yeah.
I was thinking about that. I was looking at Jorge Polanco's shoes last night. His cleats. Oh look, there he is. He wears
good looking shoes.
He's in the studio.
Oh, he's on
New Balance,
oh.
And I honestly was thinking about that. What is the NBA New Balance shoe going to look like? Does Puma have an NBA shoe?
Well, that's funny you bring that up. Just last year, they signed a whole bunch of draft picks because they kind of are attempting again to kind of pilfer the Nike market. Because Puma, like, worldwide is kicking ass. Their stock's been crazy the last couple years.
Are you saying that because of your T-shirt?
I wish I had Puma stock, but I do have a lot of Puma shirts. No, but the shoe game, Nike kills all.
Yeah.
So all of these companies are trying to start chipping away. So Puma's trying to get back into the basketball game. But it's not Nike. Two-thirds of the league wears Nike, so it's a tough hill
so
to
a lot of college teams.
For sure.
It's a big business in college.
Yeah, Kentucky, and there are a lot of them are Jordan schools, though. Obviously, North Carolina, Michigan's a Jordan school. Mm-hmm. All their, I think, sports teams all wear Jordan.
And how many people still wear Adidas, right? I mean, Rose had that giant, couple $100 million deal with Adidas.
Yeah.
Which I think is still going, right?
Yeah. That's why he basically, as long as he's on a team.
You need to be on a team.
He makes, $15 million for that?
Something ridiculous.
So that's why he can take smaller deals and sign with the
Pistons. Basically making, he's making
NBA
20.
Money is not his main source of income.
Man.
I want to live that life.
Amazing life.
Well, that's been the theory for years with the NBA, right? Is that the shoe companies decide where these players truly land more than the players themselves, right? It's where does company X want player to play?
Yes.
How about Under Armour? When Under Armour came in and just rose like right to the top, challenging Nike, and then it was like, burp.
Yep, they've had a rough couple of years. They're kind of turning it around now, but but they also had everything was going right. They get Tom Brady. Brady's winning Super Bowls. They buy low on Steph Curry. Steph Curry starts winning titles. They go low on Jordan Spieth.
Spieth
starts winning majors.
Right.
Like they were catching everybody right before they ascend. Mm-hmm. And now a lot of those people, not really Steph Curry or Brady, but a lot of the others, like second tier Under Armour athletes, are kind of leveling off. Then they signed The Rock and they got a push. So I mean, I don't know. Again,
Spieth doesn't get enough TV time anymore.
Yeah,
that's what it's all
about.
Need
that.
To kind of win and play well.
That helps.
TV time.
The Yankees won last night 14-12 over the Twins. We've been talking about it all morning because Marnie's here and she covered the game, of course, for Fox Sports North. Rosie was there the entire time. It's just fun to have this team matter for the first time in a long time, but that did not go the Twins' way last night. They blew an 8-2 lead. Then they blew another lead late because Sano's home run put them back up on top 11-10. But they lose on an Aaron Hicks diving game saving catch. Because if he doesn't catch that,
you guessed it.
All three Twins on.
Correct. This is insane.
That's the best. All three Twins on the bases would have scored, and Kepler would have been the hero again. But
correct.
You guessed it. Aaron Hicks.
I thought he
made
would,
the
though.
Super predictable game saving catch.
Well, he hit the home run to
he did.
Keep him in the game. And it was a story I was telling, but you. Todd's kept interrupting me.
What?
I had a whole story.
Interrupting?
Do me a favor then. Do me a favor.
Todd's.
Hey, do me a favor. You have the script in front of you again, right, for your 7 o'clock sports?
Was he going to read a script?
Well, that's the thing that I think is fascinating about him. He writes it out every day, and then he still ad-libs.
Because I'm good at it.
Right. No, that's when you stumble and stutter is when you go off.
The score at one point was 12-1.
12-1. And again, that's what's weird is I guarantee you on his sheet it says 12-11.
Yeah, it does.
He just reads wrong. So let's.
That's kind of an important detail.
Yes. Here's your chance of redemption.
Corey too.
Right. I like Corey too.
I hate Corey.
So here's your chance of redemption. Marnie's here. The pressure's on. But still, do your sports update again. Just the Twins part. Read your script exactly how you wrote it out. All the effort. Abbott will hear this. Swedberg will hear this. Jeff Tyler will hear this. Like, look at. He wrote it. He was ready.
I'm not here for my effort.
Go for it. Here's his.
Stop
here's
laughing.
His Twins. Here's his Twins update per script. Go.
The Minnesota Twins held the lead with their stellar bullpen.
No, do it the real way. Do it how you would have done it, with energy and all that stuff. Pretend you're actually doing it. Go.
The Minnesota Twins held the lead with their stellar bullpen over the Bronx Bombers. Well, it was the exact opposite. If you went to bed after the Twins bumped the lead to 9... Shut up.
I've already lost. God.
All right. So you did the cool twist where they didn't hold the lead, but then
because maybe. But I'm banking on people are in their car going, man, what a great Twins win. Let's tune in to see what guy with an IQ that could be a Sleep Number has to say about it. Let's listen to him ramble through ungrammatical sentences.
Right, ungrammatical sentences. Keep going.
All right.
If you went to bed after the Twins bumped the lead to 9-5. The nightmare at Target Field was far worse than the one you had.
That's good.
Thank you, Rosie.
I like that.
Thanks, Rosie. The Twins took
nice
that
metaphor.
9-5 lead into the eighth inning. The Yankees scored 5 in their half of the eighth. Blake Parker for the Twins was just shelled. He pitched 1/3 of an inning, giving up 3 hits and 4 runs. Duffy came in, thought he got the final out, but that ball was a ball.
Never mind. Never mind.
Sano hit a 2-run bomb to make it 11-10 Twins, but with 2 outs in the ninth, Taylor Rogers gave up a two-run bomb to Aaron Hicks, and the Yankees took the lead 12-11. Chapman walked the bases loaded in the Twins' bottom of the 10th, only to get one run, bottom of the 9th, only to get one run on a Polanco sack fly. That tied at 12-12. The Yankees got two in their half of the 10th to make it 14-12. The Twins had a shot in the 12th, but you guessed it.
There it is.
Aaron Hicks made a diving catch on a bases-loaded smash by Max Kepler to end the game. Final score, Yankees 14, Twins 12.
You guessed it. You can all see into the future, so everybody, you guessed it.
Everybody take a quick shot. Who do you think made the game-saving catch that won the Yankees the game?
That's a very good ad lib.
Somebody take a guess. Rosie, why don't you guess first? Who made the game-saving catch for the Yankees?
You want the real answer, or do you want...
Just take a guess.
Aaron Hicks?
That's right.
You guessed it.
I guessed it.
When we come back, we'll do Triangle of Death. It'll be all baseball-related. Let's stay on theme, because baseball's the hot topic this morning. X Games passes on the line. Potentially a trip for two to Aspen on the line, thanks to our friends at the X Games. Right after this on The Fan...
KFAN, Total Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show. Yankees won 14-12 over the Twins in 10 innings. Mark Parrish is here. Meat Sauce, Mark Rosen, Zach Alverson, Marnie Gellner from Fox Sports North. And I'm Corey Cove, and we've been giving away X Games passes for the last couple of weeks, Marnie. And somebody here in about a week and a half is going to win a trip for two to Aspen, Colorado, thanks to our friends at the X Games. You ever been to the X Games?
It's called Aspen.
Aspen.
I have not been to the X Games.
Do you like extreme sports?
I do not.
Do you like Aspen, Colorado, though?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, you're right.
Looks great.
Colorado's incredible.
I love Colorado.
I've never been to Aspen. Denver's amazing. Mm-hmm. Vail's amazing. Beaver Creek, right next to
Vail. I've been in Colorado Springs.
Amazing. Oh, okay. Nice. So let's play Triangle of Death.
Beaver Creek is great.
Triangle of Death.
So do you know how Triangle of Death works, Marnie? It's very simple.
I've heard it.
So what's going to happen is we're going to get a couple of callers on the line, and let's do that now, and then we'll explain the game to them as well. Good morning. What's your name?
Austin.
Austin, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing good.
Do you understand how Triangle of Death works?
I do.
Sweet. Do you want to go to Aspen potentially?
Yes. I just actually bought a new snowboard.
That's pretty badass.
Fun. So
timing.
Maybe that's sweet. Foreshadowing. So, all right, you're a long way from Aspen, but the first step is winning today. If you win today, you get four X Games passes for when the X Games roll into Minneapolis here in about a week and a half. That's pretty sweet. And then, if you win today, you get to pair yourself with somebody in initials on Friday. If they win for you on Friday, then you get upgraded X Games passes. You get an X Games skateboard, which is really cool. And then you would be advanced to the finals, and then you would have a shot at the trip for two to Aspen next Friday when the Power Trip broadcasts from the X Games. So hang on one second, Austin. You're going to play. And then this person. Hi, good morning. What's your name?
This is Scott.
Scott, you just have to hope Austin fails.
I can do that.
So you're the safety net. You don't have to do anything but stay on hold. If Austin loses, you win. So don't go anywhere. All right, Scott?
Sounds good.
All right, Scott is the safety net if Austin sucks at this game. Where's Parrish? Is he in the bathroom still?
I don't know where he went. I didn't even know he was gone.
We need Mark for the rest of the game here, but...
I saw him walking down the hallway a little while ago.
I think Mark's in the bathroom. While we wait for Mark to get back, I'll quickly explain the rules for everybody else. All right, so I have five rounds, but we might not need all five. There's Mark. So I ask a question, and then Austin has to pick three members of the Power Trip Morning Show to get it wrong in a row. There's five options to pick from. It's Mark Parrish, Marnie Gellner, Meat Sauce, Zach Halverson, and Mark Rosen. If he wins three out of five rounds, he wins.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. Here's round one. Again, I said the theme today is all baseball related because people are just jacked up on the Twin series against the Yankees, even though it didn't go the right way last night. Round one. I need the year the St. Paul Saints debuted.
Parrish.
Going with Parrish.
Thanks for thinking about it. couldn't have answered any quicker. Oh, man.
The year the St. Paul Saints debuted.
97.
Strike one. Sauce, Marnie, Zach, or Rosie?
I'm going to go with Zach.
I'm going to go with Zach.
Now, the current iteration of them?
Yeah, great question, Zach.
Yeah, because they had a break. I think they came back in, was it 93?
That's right.
Wow! Zach!
1993.
Wikipedia.
The Beaver.
That is, you do
the
read Beaver. A lot of Wikipedia.
Isla Borders, the starting pitcher for the St. Paul Saints.
Yeah, she was in there the other night. She's great.
She kicked ass at that Celebrity Softball.
She had the best play.
Softball game. She did have the best play.
That's cool. Strawberry came here in 94, I think. Yeah.
Strawberry was at the game the other night, too?
Yes,
it was sweet, man.
A lot of Daryl Strawberry stories.
Maurer, Caleb Truax, Harrison Smith, Kyle Rudolph, Adam Thielen. It was
Steve
awesome.
Lombardozzi.
Yeah, Steve Lombardozzi was there. Smitty Ume made an appearance.
Yeah, he did.
Round one goes to the power trip thanks to Zach getting the St. Paul Saints out of nowhere. Round two. I need the year Kirby Puckett was drafted by the Twins.
I'll go with Perry again.
Go with Mark Parrish.
It was that same. It was the class.
The year Kirby Puckett was drafted by the Minnesota Twins. Take a shot.
83.
Strike one. Who's next?
I don't want to pick Marty. I'll go with Sauce.
You go Sauce.
The year
Sauce.
Kirby Puckett was drafted, he debuted, I'm pretty sure, in 1984. I'm going to say 79.
Strike two. You want Marnie, Rosie, or Zach?
Zach.
Probably a smart play. He was very, very, very not born at this point in his life.
Right.
Zach.
Oh, boy. 81?
You guys danced 80? All over.
That was my...
1982.
Oh, 82. Oh. I would have got it wrong.
You guys were all 81 for me, too, Zach. Yep. That was my other...
The Beaver.
Danced all around. All right, so Power Trip 1. Austin has one, and one round apiece. Round 3. I need the year that 12-year-old Jeffrey Mayer helped the Yankees with fan interference in the World Series.
Oh, God.
What year did 12-year-old Jeffrey Mayer reach over the fence, grab the ball, and help the Yankees basically go on to win that game in the World Series? What year did that happen? Austin, who do you want?
Halvey.
Got to go with Zach Halverson.
Oh, boy. I have no idea.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Not really.
Okay.
No. 98. Right.
Strike one.
Perry.
Staying away from Marnie. Marnie, they think you know baseball. Yeah, it's a compliment.
Obviously, I have all. I would have had
all the answers. Yes, Mark.
Oh boy. Let's go with 2006.
Strike two. Sauce, Marnie, or Rosie?
Rosie.
The future Mrs. Lambert.
Again.
That's odd.
It's crazy to think about in the context of a little kid. You think about the Bartman game. You think about Jeffrey Mayer. Wow. 96.
That's right.
Nice job, Rose!
That is the correct answer.
Closer than...
That is the correct answer. The Power Trip takes the lead, 2-1, 1996.
You're welcome,
this one's going to be tough. We'll see if you guys get this one. Round four.
Well said.
The all-time record for career Grand Slams is held by Alex Rodriguez. How many career Grand Slams do you think Alex Rodriguez hit? All five members back on the board. Austin, go.
Zach.
You're going to go Zach.
Of course. This feels bad picking on me.
14.
Strike one.
Perry.
Get my mouth shut. 19.
Strike nice. Two. Sauce, we'll Marnie, or Rosie?
We'll go with Sauce.
I'm going to go Sauce.
Sauce.
What was the question?
A-Rod has the record for most career Grand Slams in a career. How many did A-Rod hit?
If I get this wrong, does he win?
If you get this wrong, it's tied 2 rounds apiece.
Okay. I think he has over 500. So, no, no, home runs total. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you for correct.
I'm going to say he hit over under question. 35.
Just out of curiosity, Marnie and Rosie, take a shot.
I thought 19 was high.
I was going to say like 14 or something.
I would say more in the 9 range.
Yeah.
35 is wrong. He has the all-time record. He hit 25 grand slams.
Wow.
Holy
cow. That's amazing.
A-Rod, 25
How many
grand
of them on steroids?
Okay. He's America's sweetheart now, though. Somehow he has a redemption
He's
story.
He's really good on A-Rod TV.
He got J-Lo, that's how.
25 in the majors?
Never
no,
imagine that.
No, in Little League.
Last but not least, it all comes down to this.
Shut up.
Zip it over there, 500.
Austin, this one's pretty tough, especially with the group in here. I would say choose wisely on this one. I need the year that Justin Morneau was the AL MVP.
Oh, God.
That's going to be tough to sneak through.
That's what she said.
Pear Bear, don't.
2006.
Yeah, no, you can't go with
Pear Bear. What is his best friend?
What are you thinking?
Yeah. Justin Morneau.
Yeah.
Corey man.
You.
Yeah, that was the absolute last choice.
I think
choice.
All of us knew that.
Yep.
Except for Zach.
Scott, you win then.
That's awesome.
That
thanks,
was
guys.
Yeah, that was Parrish was the wrong pick. Parrish and him are like best friends. That was not good. Doesn't matter. Maybe Austin didn't know that. So, Scott, yesterday AJ was the first pick, which means you have Parrish, Sauce, and Hockey on the board. Who do you want to participate for you in initials on Friday? If they win, you advance to the finals.
Let's take Hawk fresh off the vacation.
You're going to take Hawk. Okay.
He's dead. He's
all right,
dead.
Scott Stanhold, we'll get your information. You win those X Games passes, and Hawk represents you on Friday. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right. That's Scott wins. Right,
yeah. I've never just prayed to be picked so much.
Yeah.
Ever
you
in
would
that
have been
game.
My last pick.
That was
pick.
The only answer you guys ever asked. I actually knew it.
Everybody be honest, because I had a hunch that Parrish was going to know. Would everybody else got in 06, Marnie, you would have known.
Yeah. There's only been a couple.
Zach, what would you have guessed?
I was thinking 07, 08.
Okay, so you would have probably missed?
Yeah.
Sauce, would you have known 06
or
not?
Yeah, because every time they show them on FSN, they put that on the screen.
06
I would have
MVP?
Known that, yeah.
Okay. All right, so maybe that was just a bad run out for Austin, either way. All right, one final segment with Marnie Gellner, Mark Parrish, Mark Rosen, Zach Halverson, Paul Meat Sauce Lambert, and I'm Corey Coven. This is the Power 2 Morning Show on The Fan.
Be sitting front row at our 2019 iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas. Plus, an experience with Steve Aoki you'll never forget.
This is Steve Aoki. I want to give you a personal...
You're listening to The Fan.
He's dead.
Mark! Have a laugh about life.
All right, a bunch of random stuff for Marnie Gellner, Mark Parrish, Mark Rosen, Zach Halverson, Sauce, and myself, because we've beat the Twins to death, just like the Yankees did last night.
Brilliant.
And I'm sure 9 to noon will have you covered as well. Plus, Marnie, you got a conference call. You're going to talk Twins on the conference call.
Yep.
You got to cover another game tonight. Oda Rizzi versus J.A. Happ.
Find time for a nap.
Right.
It is a busy day.
Can you guys both tweet your nap length, both Parrish and Marnie? Let's just see who...
Over-under on Parrish.
Today's Parrish. A Wednesday.
Yeah.
So the over-under for Parrish is
3-4 hours.
What?
Well, all right. Now... Time constraints today. I do have the Bloomington Education Foundation golf tournament at 12:30.
Oh.
That being said, I will be home and in my bed by 9:30. So start with that. I'll be leaving.
So you'll get a 2-hour nap in?
That's my goal.
About two?
That's my goal.
Marnie, will you sleep more than 2 hours?
And I will have to set an alarm for that.
No.
Are you a power napper?
Well,
you nap for like 30 minutes and you're done?
Oh, First of all, that's a waste of time. I have kids, Mark. I don't know what.
I do too.
Oh, he ignores his.
Yes, but that's what Nikki's for.
Whoa!
Progress.
Okay.
Wow, that's
get yourself
well.
Back sorry, in the sweetheart. Kitchen.
Yeah.
Play that soundbite. There you go.
1 second, timing's everything.
Okay.
I love that bit.
Best ever.
Yeah.
Put my thunder.
I might sneak a 20 in. Okay. I might sneak a 20
Seriously?
In.
Oh, my Lord. That's...
Here we go.
Haven't you ever heard of the women's movement?
Well, sure. Put on something cute and move it into the kitchen.
It's the great Albert Clifford Slater from Saved by the Bell.
Your hero.
You got to understand that Nikki doesn't look at me as a husband. I'm more or less her oldest child.
Yes. Yes, that is correct.
She's... That's how most of them look at most
them?
Of us.
Most of them.
Most of them.
You know, those
people.
Those lady folk. All right, so from time to time, we
great
do this
great being
bit.
Here today.
You're right, no problem. We do this bit on the morning show, Marnie, where I just read headlines that we didn't bother to look up the rest of the information because that's how Twitter works now, too, right?
Yes,
you just
yeah.
read the headline and then you're an
yeah,
expert.
Go with it.
Right, so these are only headlines. I don't have any more information. Here we go. A woman in Georgia busted into the kitchen at a McDonald's and fired a shot into the floor because her fries were cold.
Jesus!
That's a lot different than road rage.
Wow!
Shoot it into the ceiling, more effective.
Maybe. Or shoot it into somebody.
Sounds like you've had some experience in this.
Shoot it into a person. That actually would hurt somebody.
McDonald's fries are the best.
Okay,
best.
So answer
when
this question.
When they're warm, if they're cold, yeah, forget it. Forget
but what
about
if they're
it.
Blazing hot? Give me the exact amount of time you want to wait to eat a McDonald's fry. Go.
If it comes out blazing hot, you have to pour them all out of the package. Sort of let them sit, pour them back let in them so that then they retain that warmth and go to town.
So you're saying maybe 2 minutes?
You no, wait 2 minutes? No. If you take them out and give them some breathing room, it's
the
more in the
surface area exposure.
More in the 60-second range.
60 seconds. Halverson.
69 seconds.
Okay. Grow up. Okay, Rosie.
Up, Peter Pan.
You just stole Rosie's answer. Rosen.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Sauce.
15. I like them when they're real hot.
Me too. That's my answer too. Is what are you waiting for? That's why they give you a drink.
First off, the correct answer is Val's fries.
Okay.
Ugh. Yeah, those were
Raising Cane's.
You cannot wait. It's you deal with the pain, you deal with the heat.
Sure.
Make sure you got a strawberry shake to just kind of chase it down, and there you go.
That sounds so good.
Mm-hmm. Story number two. Do you know after an Amber Alert that lots of people get so upset that they were inconvenienced by the Amber Alert that they call 911 to complain? And now there's a petition in Canada that would fine people who call 911 to complain about Amber Alerts.
I'm all in favor of it.
I have one of those.
What?
Police, fire, ambulance.
No, I want to know the child abduction, Sudbury.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who the hell is sending these alerts out. What right do you have to send an alert out to Niagara Falls? Wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, sir, it's an Amber Alert for a child that's been abducted.
I don't give a I don't need to have these coming on my phone from Sudbury, all right?
I don't know.
You
have nothing to do with that, so...
Well, I know. I'm not blaming you personally. You have to understand. What would you like me to call to complain? Because this is bullshit.
Wow.
That's rock bottom.
Wow. Let's abduct
him. The worst person people I've ever in my life.
This is an abductive I don't give a bleep.
Well, it's your child. I don't give a bleep.
Don't wake me up. It's 5 o'clock.
Maybe he was the one that abducted him.
I treat it as a call to action. You know, I get out there and start looking.
I believe that you do.
Yeah.
You're a nice guy, Zach.
I am.
I retweet it. Is that the same thing if I retweet it?
Yeah, that's doing some work.
That's man of action.
Story number three. A taco festival in California disappointed a lot of people when it promised unlimited beer and tacos and then ran out.
Of both?
Thus the word unlimited.
Unlimited. Ran out.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I want to go to that.
Well, they ran out of beer and tacos. They ran out of tacos.
That sounds like a terrible festival.
And let's leave on this one. Here's the last one.
Never
this
invite
is my
the parishes.
One. Always save the best for last in this stupid bit. You guys familiar with Forever 21? Hawk probably shops there.
Of course he does.
Forever 21 sent people Atkins bars along with their plus size clothing that they had ordered.
Jeez.
Oh.
And clearly, people aren't happy.
No.
Yeah. To be clear, it was all the clothes, not just the plus size. But
was it really?
Yeah. It was all the clothes. I looked into it, but
I didn't.
You're not supposed to read past the headline.
Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm well.
Play
educated.
The game.
Yeah, the game is
meat sauce
just
junior
wide, just overlapping blanket statements that we haven't researched. So
I apologize.
Why did you?
Maybe they should be forever 250.
Well, they will be
forever 210
those Atkin bars.
Lucky.
So there you go. How about this? One other thing that I think is kind of interesting. CNN.com has a story specifically about the Mall of America, but they're talking about malls across the country. Mm-hmm. That malls in general are struggling. It's rents going up. It's harder to find tenants that consistently make money. So the the turnover is kind of significant. So they said that the Mall of America has one now on the way, or maybe it just opened, and there's a whole bunch across the country that the new kind of hot tenant amongst malls are clinics. That's going to be the next wave.
Like minute clinic type things?
It's basically, yeah, they're going to have these quick clinics where it's like fevers, coughs, right. And then just like
let's get all
flu
those
shots.
People into an enclosed area like a mall.
Get them into a mall. Perfect. But then the idea would be have long-term practices eventually as well. And they were saying that it's super advantageous for malls to get these kind of businesses in because they're less likely to leave. Because that's
true.
That business model just works. So they also said the thing of the placement, it depends on the mall. Now, the Mall of America is gigantic, but they said you're not going to be walking through the mall and see an Apple store and then a clinic and then the Gap. It's not going to be, you know, sandwiched in between stores, but those darker, kind of quieter spots in the malls, they're going to start dropping clinics in.
Yeah, there's a couple in the Skyways. There's that, a clinic in the Skyway.
Mm.
Well, it makes sense.
Southdale in Edina has some sort of like a DMV. They have some sort of a tab or license renewal.
Well, they should.
Yeah, brilliant.
Nice.
I got to go do that. Thanks for the reminder.
So it's the convenience of not having to actually go to the DMV. You can just go to the mall and get it out of the way.
And I don't know the branch of it. I just remember it's on the bottom in one of those dark corners, but it's a service.
You're not suggesting that like the Mayo Clinic is going to open up a satellite center, basically.
But that's kind of what they're saying.
They kind of moving in that direction. They already have them from Rochester.
But not in malls. That's what I'm saying.
I gotcha.
I mean, they have optical stores and places you can. Yeah. I mean, so why not?
Why not?
Why not expand it? Yeah.
They got that Sears that just closed down up there. Maybe you have it as an anchor. You have Bloomington General down there next to your Macy's, and I think it'd be cool.
After eating a Cinnabon, you pretty much have to get paddled.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you come up with Bloomington General?
Just off the top of my head.
Would it be next to Seattle Grace?
Yes.
What's that?
I think we should end on that. Let's
That's a good walk-off.
You need a 20-minute nap.
So healthcare industry in America is $3.5 billion, blah, 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 blah. So it's a lot of money. Mall of America is teaming up with the University of Minnesota Physicians and a Minnesota-based healthcare system to operate the clinic. So it sounds like
it's
a walk-in clinic to start, but then it says there's plans for exam rooms, a radiology room, lab space, pharmacy, dispensary service. So it sounds like it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. We're just going to have a hospital at the Mall of America eventually, a full-blown hospital.
Sweet.
And one of the stores will sell like fashionable gowns.
Of course.
Hospital gowns.
Right next door.
And this sequin dress opens in the back. No, let's end on that one.
That's even better.
I think there is a company that's doing that now that are kind of designer gowns, hospital gowns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah. Especially for you.
Well, I mean, if you are in the hospital for multiple days, you would probably know this, Corey, after your.
Haven't really spent time. No, these are all like 10-minute checkups.
I've had a couple of babies, and I learned after the first one that I brought like sweats, outfits that kind of looked cute. I had C-section, so I was in for a few days. I felt so much better after the second child because I was like, look at me. I had a baby. I look cute.
Yeah.
It made a difference to not be walking around in a hospital gown.
I thought you guys were, I guess, gowns. I like, in my head, I thought I had scrubs in my head. I thought, like, the nurses and doctors were going to be dressing better, but you did say gowns.
Yeah. And they already, they do make hospital scrubs that are
a little higher end now.
Themed and prints and prints.
Prince. Right.
Well, I'm sure they make a Prince one, too.
Prince one.
Scrubs night at Target Field.
Purple scrubs.
Forever.
Another idea.
You absolutely didn't have to come in this morning after the late night, so that was very nice that you
now
did.
Now you tell
cool.
me.
That was super, super nice.
Marnie's the best.
Marnie is the best. She's
well,
all right.
You know what? It was fun, and I love you guys, most of you, and it's good to talk it out sometimes, so thanks for letting me
correct.
Do
it.
Most of you.
We can watch you tonight, though, pregame and postgame, or what?
I'm not watching.
Yes,
that.
Yeah, pregame, 6:30.
I'll watch ESPN.
Oh, okay, that's very nice. That's really nice.
Wow.
Oh, that's
support those that support you. That a boy.
I take back my tweet.
telling you, once you cross him, you're dead to him. And you crossed him this morning by ripping his sports update. So he
so did you.
He'll never forget.
Yeah, I do it every day. I do it every day.
I need him.
Okay.
Yeah, I do it every day. Rosie, thanks for your time. We'll see you tomorrow.
I look forward to it.
Parrish, we'll see you battle out on initials on Friday.
Can't wait.
Zach, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
9 to noon is next. They got that Twins-Yankees game covered. We'll see you tomorrow, 5:30 to 9, the Power 2 Morning Show on The Fan.
I love meat sauce.
Listen back to today's Power Trip Morning Show, or to hear previous shows, podcast us on the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.